Howdy, y'all. This is Bob Nightingale, America's so-called sweetheart. At least that's what Liam says. I'm not sure about that, but you listen to Pod and Lansdowne.
So false alarm on the Tristan Casas number situation, Liam. We were talking off-air that we thought maybe, just maybe, there was a situation where Tristan Casas was changing his number from 36 to 54. Because if you looked on the MLB app on Monday evening as we record this, it's 8:15, not 7:45, as we'll talk about in just a moment. But 36 to 54, I guess it's just happening for one game, Liam?
According to P-Dabe? P-Dabe has not given us confirmation yet for what the reason is, but just a quick little, he's just mixing it up for the night, that's all. So, hey.
That should be a more common practice to just wear uniform number for one game, just like as a choice, you know.
Like a slump buster. I'm just going to change my number for the night.
Yeah, like I only have one hit over the last week. I'm not really feeling, you know, 26 right now. I got to change it up. Let's go with 78.
I wonder why they, because I'm sure there's some rule against it, but like. Could you imagine if someone just like changed their number halfway through the season?
It's had to have happened before, no?
Right?
Yeah. What if you get traded to a team that has?
Well, I'm thinking like a player on the same team. Because yeah, certainly if you get traded, you can change your number.
You got to change like the media guides and stuff like that. But like maybe the All-Star break would be a good time for that.
Could you imagine if that was the reason? Oh, no, we got to reprint all the media guys. Sorry, you can't change your number.
Too much to print that all out. I will say that the timeline got a little nervous with Casas potentially changing his number. And this might be an unpopular opinion right here that I'm about to drop. Dip my toes into a little bit of controversial waters here. You ready for this, gents? For a hot moment there, I was excited because the aura of 36, on a face value, maybe it means something to him personally. Maybe that's why he picked 36.
Compared
and that's
to 54?
Great.
54
no, has I didn't, zero. Now, okay, so... Hold that thought. Yes, I agree with that. I just thought it was going from a better number than 36. If he has his own reason for 36, then vaya con Dios, do that. I'm just saying on face value, 36 is not a great number. Now, switching it to 54 is not an improvement. I mean, okay. Potentially in the context of the Patriots, I mean, Brewski, Dante Hightower, shout out 54 there. But for baseball, no, that 54 is not an improvement. But 36 is no great shakes. 35, nice round number there. 35 is cool.
I don't know. Maybe he just wants to honor 2005 Red Sox legend John Halama tonight. That's
Listen,
all.
You will never hear me say a bad word on this program about John Halama, okay? But
1991 Red Sox legend Jeff Plimpton.
The Plim Man.
I have 54 pulled up. I'm just rattling off random names now. Edward Mujica, another Red Sox 54.
Mujica,
wow.
Craig Breslow in 06.
Yeah, I was so excited when they signed Edward Mujica.
I was too. I was like, "This is going to be
like,
great."
I was like, "Oh, what a great fucking move!"
He was so good in St. Louis. Yeah,
yeah,
getting aggressive.
And then, I remember, I want to say it was the day they raised the banner for the 13 team. Mujica blew it in the home opener, and like,
no, that's wrong. I was actually at the banner raising home opener. They got killed. It was like 9-2 or something. He came
in.
He did.
No.
He did pitch that game, but I don't believe.
Did
he
fuck up?
I think they were down like 6 runs when he came in.
Let's look through. Let's look through a walk down memory lane. Edward Mujica's 2014 game log.
Okay. Yeah. Pull that up. I'll tell you what though. That was one of the worst, coldest MLB games I've ever been at in my life. It was. I think it was like maybe 40 degrees, but the wind was cutting.
And that's what makes it miserable, right? Like you can deal with like the temperature itself being a little chilly, but when the wind is nasty, that no thank you.
Yeah. My dad.
Oh my God. The start time weather, 43 degrees.
Yeah.
13 mile an hour winds in from right field and cloudy. I do remember it was cloudy.
No, dude, it was bad. It stuck with me. My dad still talks about it. Like, hey, at least it's not as bad. Like if we go to a cold game, hey, at least it's not. That game, opening day, 14, huh?
Talking about it like it's a blizzard of 78.
Yeah, dude. No, it was cold, Fitz. Let me tell you.
I can't. I'm
Fitz, it was cold, okay?
It was chilly.
When that weather was cold, we was cold.
Man, we was laying in that cold
weather.
It was cold. That's one of the tweets that gets, for those who aren't aware, Michael Irvin. I think that was during the Packers-Cowboys Dez dropped a games at Lambeau. I think that's what the day was, but it was a cold game, and his man, when we was playing in that cold weather, we was cold. Anytime that pops up on the timeline, it gets a hearty chuckle out of me. One of top 15 posts ever on that website. I don't think that's unfair to say. What a tweet. Great poster, Michael Irvin. In any event,
he was completely exonerated, right? No wrongdoing.
Well, there were a couple of things for Michael Irvin, so you got to have to be specific.
All right, I'll reel that one back in.
I don't know. I don't want to step on anyone. I don't want to slander anyone. I have no idea.
Jake, I'm sorry to tell you,
I was wrong.
Yeah. It was 2-2 going into the ninth inning.
I thought you were going to talk about Michael Irvin's arrest record.
Maybe I was just miserable the whole game because the weather was terrible.
I wouldn't have blamed you.
Well, what did they lose? They ended up getting blown out, though, right? Did he give up several runs?
They lost 6-2. Mojica came in and gave up four runs in two-thirds of an inning.
Okay.
Ugly. Ugly ninth inning. But, yeah.
Anyways, that's Muad'Dib, a.k.a. Liam.
Muad'Dib.
The nasty women, those
pesky Paul. I think I'm seeing it next weekend, guys, okay?
Fitz, it came out a month ago.
I've been busy. I don't have time to be hitting the cinemas in L.A. in the palm trees. I'm like some people on this pod.
Muad'Dib.
Little Paul Atreides. We're joined by I'm Sorry, a.k.a. Jake. Jake, why are you sorry?
That would be I got on late. Quite late. Nearly a half hour late I hopped on.
You're getting attacked by the sharks in L.A. It's okay. We forgive you. It's all good. I'm Cesar Crespo, a.k.a. Fitz, and this is Pod on Lansdowne, the final Pod on Lansdowne episode of the offseason. Gentlemen, we have made it. We've made it to the precipice of the 2024 campaign. How excited are we for another year of Red Sox baseball, huh? Get the popcorn out, the Fenway Franks. Head on out to the ballpark and watch a 79-83 team. Woohoo!
You say that now. That clip's going to come back to bite you, Fitz.
Yeah.
When they win 97 games.
Jonah, don't clip that one.
I will say, as the spring has gone on, I have progressively become more optimistic and maybe delusional.
What's the
hope springs eternal?
Yeah, what's the phrasing of like the indomitable human spirit when the darkness yes. of? Can someone bail me out there? What is that?
Yeah, hold on. Fuck, I think I posted that a couple days ago.
While you find that, Jake, I just want to outline. You know,
I've got it. The indifferent cruelty of the universe when the indomitable human spirit walks into the room.
There it is. The indomitable human spirit of Red Sox Nation. That's the mood for this episode. No, I am. You say that, Liam. I'm trying to get a little bit more optimistic because even if the Sox do stink, even if they are sub 500 again, I just like baseball in general. I know that's a hot take. It's very brave of me to say that. But I'm excited for the year. And we will be reviewing the year on this episode. Lucy Burge of BetQL coming back onto the pod this week to go through our projections throughout the entire league. We got division winners, wild card winners, award winners, and the team that's going to win the big piece of metal at the end of the year, to quote Rob Manfred. That's coming on later in the program. Excited to have her on. You'll be hearing that in just a bit.
Not me, though.
Yeah, because we're recording it Tuesday, and it's Monday right now. Mm-hmm. Jake's ditching us again to give those Sharks what for. That made him late tonight. He's got a payback is a dish best served cold in the
there was a shark. There was a shark on the highway. That's what it was. Traffic. That LA traffic.
What the hell a polar bear doing in Los Angeles,
you
California?
I did think before I came out here, like LA traffic. Nobody ever shuts the fuck up about it. It really is like the worst shit in the world. Yeah. I fucking hate it here so much, dude.
Well, you're almost home free.
I don't think I said this on the pod, but you know how I would describe LA is like Southern California, California in general, I guess, is like Eden. It's like the Garden of Eden. It's like this perfect, all these different like vistas and everything, beautiful, amazing. Los Angeles itself is a complete piece of garbage. Like that's how I would, like you leave the city and the world's your oyster. But the actual Los Angeles is not great. Not for me.
And at this point, if you haven't seen a dance number like the start of La La Land, then doubts are you're ever going to see it at this rate.
I was almost... Here's a, you want a cool flash mob story? Is that an exciting thing?
Let's hear it.
On our yeah, absolutely.
On our baseball podcast? This is what people podcast? Come for. I was... When I was younger, maybe 2012, 11, 12, something like that, there was this a viral video of a flash mob at Union Station, New Haven. That's like the train station for New Haven. Liam, I'm sure you've been through there. No, wait, you've never been on a train, right? Did I imagine that?
What? No, I've been on plenty of trains. You know,
Fitz never been on a train?
Not to Union Station in New Haven, but...
So you've never been on an Amtrak? Is that what? That's
no,
what
not I, an Amtrak. I was going okay,
so,
to. All
right, so
for,
that is what I was to, thinking of.
I was
Liam,
going
I'm
to
sorry.
Before.
I'm
sorry.
I'm an Amtrak guy. I'm a train guy. Right. Come on now. Come on.
Yeah,
now.
Loves his trains. anyway, that station there was like a huge flash mob there, and it went like people. I don't know. You know, like millennials fucking love flash mobs. You know, isn't
that was
a, real...
a big thing?
It's very yeah. Reddit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So and it like went super viral, and I missed being in the lobby. Of the like in the video by like 3 minutes, I had just left, and I remember telling I've thought I was like, oh, what a bummer, you know, that could have been a really cool story.
Do you ever think back to that day? It's like, man, if I didn't have that cup of coffee, or man, if we had just gotten that green light
yes.
earlier to get to the station.
Oh, I did. It bummed me out when I was little. I was like, oh, I could have seen a flash mob. Now I think, well, that's okay. It's fine.
You're like, oh, thank God, I didn't get to see a flash mob.
It's like Seth MacFarlane, like oversleeping. Or
Jesus,
no,
no, no. Stop. Once you said that, I took a second for the gears to get in motion. I was like, oh, I know where this is going. Nope, I don't want to edit that. The less editing I have to do, the better.
If Jake had been there, it wouldn't have gone down like that.
Wouldn't have gone down like that.
Jake Wahlberg.
Crazy enough, I actually have a Red Sox-related flash mob story.
Oh.
Yes. So I was at, this must have been, it was the final Orioles home game of 2012. The Red Sox were in town and we weren't any good. I was with my younger sister and we were sitting down the third baseline, and like that's where the majority of Red Sox fans at Oriole Park, naturally, you sit down the third baseline. And this older gentleman comes up to us and like hands us these sheets of paper with the lyrics to Sweet Caroline on them. And he's like, hey, if you guys want, like, we're, I don't know if it was like, he was like sixth or seventh inning. We're all going to be out on the flag court in right field and dance to Sweet Caroline. If
wrong
you guys
inning to
want.
Do it, by the way.
And you're like, oh, like, cool. Yeah, no, thanks. Yeah, maybe we'll meet you out there.
Wait, Liam, I don't want to poke up. Either you made a mistake or this story is even sillier than it, but is it, why didn't they just do it when Sweet Caroline normally plays?
Great question.
Oh, okay. So
I don't know.
Really...
Oh, no. You know what? I think they would maybe wanted to do it like simultaneously with
John Denver.
Yes. As like dueling late-inning songs.
Is that after the stretch?
Yeah. But,
got me old fiddle. Got cakes on the griddle. Banger of a song.
Don't worry, I didn't make it out to right field.
You're not part of that.
I was not there.
You did not have to thank the stranger for the gold. There, very Reddit moment. Thank you, kind stranger.
Thank you, kind sir.
Any event, guys. 14
flash mobs on Lansdowne.
Yeah, flash mobs on Lansdowne. I wanted to ask you this question leading into the 2024 season, a couple days away now, as you guys are getting ready to go to Seattle for the first series. Should be fun.
Yeah, not opening day. Not opening day.
Still, you know, it'll still be a right. good time. Looking forward to hearing your report about Safeco. I will be dead naming that park. It's not T-Mobile in my eyes. It's Safeco. In any event, I wanted to ask you this before we get into the nitty-gritty of the season predictions with Lucy. The 2024 Red Sox season will go right if blank. I want you to complete that sentence. Who wants to go first on that? The 2024 season will go right if blank. Jake's like, if no one fucking dies? Like, I don't know.
Okay. I actually thought of something before. Earlier today, I was thinking about this. Like, if, let's say, the rotation. Every guy in the rotation has career year. They're amazing. Then maybe we win 85 games. Right? If that's probably like,
which, hey, like, okay, that might, you might be able to sneak into a wild card spot there and then just see what happens at that point. I feel like I've said that point before, but it's the team that just won the National League won 84 games, and the year before that they won like 86 or something like that. What did the Phillies
win? Did Diamondbacks won 84 games last year?
Yeah.
Oh, or like 85 or 80, not a lot.
Christ. All right, yeah, saying? Fuck it. I'm in.
That's all I need at that point.
I actually, Liam, I think you were kind of pointing to something like this before we switched topics, but like as the spring has gone on, I have come around on the roster a little bit. Like you do not have to give this roster any credit.
But issuing a correction.
Yeah. But I do think people are a touch down on them. I really like the like 77, 78 wins totals that people are tossing out. Like that does feel low to me, I think. It ultimately comes down to if Whitlock and Howe, we've been saying this for like 3 years now, if Whitlock and Howe can take that step and just be like league average starting pitchers. And if they can, then it looks pretty good, I think. I don't know. But, yeah.
I mean, I'm third best record in the Grapefruit League. You're doing something right.
Hey, I'll tell you what, Liam, numbers don't lie.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Men
that's
lie.
That's Atlantic.
Women lie. Atlantic. Numbers don't lie. Numbers don't lie.
But I will say, I think... the season will go right as long as everybody just has fun, you know? Go out there, win, lose, or draw, have fun. Russell Westbrook.
Hey, you know what? The casuals are going to be out. Like, they're not going to be going to the games. Tickets will be cheaper. We'll have a grand old time, even if the team isn't all that. Nice and jolly, Liam.
I think, in all seriousness, the season will be a success if Tyler O'Neill plays 120 games.
I like that answer a lot. Nice.
Yeah, I saw, I think it was the Saturday or Sunday, their lineup had Tyler batting second. And I was like, wow, this actually looks like a deep lineup all of a sudden, where it was Duran, O'Neill, Devers, Story, Casas, Wong, Abreu, et cetera, et cetera. But I was like, okay, there's actually, looks like there's some depth here. So if you can, as long as the lineup hits, I think it's going to be similar to last year and the year before, where we're in it. It's late July, middle August.
And then shit goes south.
Like, yeah, you mentioned that.
Then,
you mentioned
shit. The arms are running out of gas.
Yeah. You mentioned the shit going south. Like, you got to understand. Like, I get why people are jaded going into the year, because after the full throttle comment, we don't have to go into all of this. Just listen to the last 5 months of episodes if you want to get into that negative aspect of it. 100%. Been there, done that. Yes. Like, I don't want to sound like a broken record on this, but you have to understand that it was arguably or maybe literally the worst single month in Red Sox history, September of 2023. They were so dog shit that month, and that's what brought them to, what, 79 wins they ended with? You know what I mean? They may have been on track to win 83, 84, which, again, this should not be considered acceptable, you know, on a year-by-year basis.
Listen, I am man enough to admit I was all in after that Braves series in July. I was like, this
game... Yeah, I was like, maybe
I was like, frankly, we're winning the World Series. Unfortunately for the other 29 teams, that's just what it is now. And then I'll tell you what, even the next game, I think they went to San Francisco right after that. And that first San Francisco game, Casas hit, I think, two bombs or something. And it was like, oh, my God, is this the rookie of the year? We're cruising. And then Bayo pitched great, I think, was that same game.
Mm-hmm.
And then it all went sideways, like immediate. I think literally the next game we lost. And then
it went walk off. And they went to Seattle, lost 2-3. Then they went. Then they came back here to play Toronto, and that's when they got swept.
Yeah, that was it. That sweep was the season.
You want to know something crazy, though? They weren't under 500, like, for good until September 16th. They were 74-74.
That makes sense, because I feel like we tweeted that fucking picture every third day. Yeah.
They were 8-19 in September.
They finished 78-84. Yeah, 8-19.
What were they on? Were they on August 31st?
They were 69-65.
So a winning record going into, you couldn't tell me, like, if you don't have this complete mess of a final month, you're not able to push across like 83 wins or something like that. Even 83, they ended with 78. They couldn't have scrapped together five more wins. The point I'm making is that, again, I don't think this team's going to be contending for any pennants or anything like that, or a championship. But I do not think it's as bad as people are making out to be, like Jake said. People throwing out 77 wins, 75 wins, shit like that. I don't think that, you know?
We were undefeated in October.
1-0, baby! Yes, sir!
Can't take it. Tied for the most wins out of the AL East in October. So
if you keep that pace up over 162 games, man, they're going to be shocking a lot of people this year, Liam.
They're going to do some damage.
No, take the momentum of that last game in October and try to parlay that up until at least the All-Star break. Maybe make a couple purchases at the deadline. Then you got a stew going at that point. The season will go well for the 2024 Red Sox if the defense is improved and up to snuff like we think that it might be. You mentioned O'Neill playing consistently, Liam, about 120 games even. He has Gold Glove potential. We've seen it in St. Louis. And you know, his swing for Fenway could be great too. I don't know if you've seen his spray chart, but he could rake.
He would mash.
But no, his defense is solid. That'll help in the corners. If Rafaela, who broke camp with the team, very exciting news.
Oh yeah, that happened.
If he's patrolling center field, that defense will be great. Story is a good enough of a defender. He can't get worse at shortstop than Kike last year.
Poor Fitz. Fitz, this is tough to watch. You're talking yourself into it.
Better defense? Yeah, because
just like a successful season. I agree. The defense, I mean, that really is the lowest
spirit coming out.
That is the lowest bar you could possibly have. But I agree, the defense will likely
be better. It's in general, I would agree with that, Jake. Yes, that it is a low bar, but it is a bar that has to be cleared after last season, because that bar was in fucking Hades, dude. It's low, relatively speaking, because it's just barely above the floor, but it was also 2,000 miles below the core of the earth in 2023. So if that can even raise it up, maybe you see an improvement. I think things can go right if the defense is better, because it cannot get much worse than it was last season. And if it is as bad as it was last season, I might have a fucking brain aneurysm out of anger, because it was awful. It was so fucking bad last year. I'm not even going to bother to ask what the season will go wrong if this, because there's a lot of things that could go fucking wrong. But, you know,
okay, a million things could go wrong.
We're trying to be happy here. Right? This might be our only time. You know, hope springs eternal. All 30 teams, or maybe 29, and then the White Sox fans, they have some hope here. 29 out of 30.
Would the Red Sox win the AL Central?
That's a good question.
It's the eternal question. I feel like every year.
If you're a team in the AL East and you're just mid, you're always going to be like, oh, if we were in the Central, man.
Yeah.
If you played the season 100 times, I think the Red Sox would win the AL Central. God.
The Tigers had the same record as us last year.
I'd say they'd win 35 times, 40 times or so.
Who won? The Twins won the division.
Twins won it.
Yeah.
Twins are probably.
What did they finish with?
87-75.
Oh, we could have done that.
Yeah.
We could have done that.
Yeah.
They definitely have a shot. They'd have a puncher's chance at the very least.
My aunt had wheels should be a bike, whatever that is.
I can't believe it. Next time you hear our voices, the season will have commenced.
Yeah.
Jake,
we will have seen Nick Pivetta's Cy Young season. Start in person
and Cutter.
That's right. Dueling
actually,
Cy
it's
Youngs.
Gonna be yeah, it's gonna
the
be interesting.
First co Cy Young.
They're
first
both winning Cy 20 Young. Games.
Yeah. It's gonna be really cool how they do that.
You heard it here first on the pod. Let's take a step aside. When we return, our interview, our season preview, our predictions, which are all gonna be 100% right. You're asked how can that be possible? The power of magic.
Year.
Yeah, exactly. Don't listen to who I picked to win the AL Central last year. Don't bother.
Do
you just
not
have to trust.
Under no circumstances look up who I chose to win the AL Cy Young.
You're just gonna have to believe me that we got it right. All got it right. So, no. When we're back, Lucy on the pod doing our predictions. But first, got to pay the bills. Ad time. We sit here tonight. It is the eve of the start of the season. Is that, did I do my math right, folks? Yeah. I was never a huge numbers guy. Eve of the MLB season, which means we had to bring on great friend of the program, Lucy Burge, back on to do our annual predictions segment leading up to opening day. Put everything on the record. This is all going to be 100% correct, and it's nothing's going to age poorly when we look back on this in a couple of months. Lucy, it's great to have you back on. Thanks for taking some time.
Hello, gentlemen. I am so happy to be here on the one-year anniversary of the first time I was on, and it is the eve of baseball season. So
exactly the one-year anniversary? Was it?
I believe last year we did predictions as well. So
on March 26th to record it. Like,
I bet it was. I bet maybe it was. Because I remember I picked the Padres to win the World Series, and that, of course, was correct. So I picked it. It was Red Sox Padres World Series, and Chaim Bloom would become president, I think it was. And
so you jumped. I had that in the back of the mind there. I was going to pull that back out. Why don't we just start there?
Yeah.
You're the betting expert here, BetMGM, BetQL, really? With Odyssey as well. Do we know what the lines for that parlay was with Red Sox? I believe it was Red Sox Mets World Series, Red Sox win, but that catapults Chaim Bloom to becoming president of the United States somehow?
Yes, I believe it was plus like 500,000. I think.
I was going to say so plus 250.
Yeah, if you bet that, you win like a lot of money. Put $10 on that? Yeah.
You'll be able to buy the Red Sox. You'll be able to buy your way into Chaim's old job.
Exactly. Exactly. So, Craig Breslow, watch your back.
I will say, you mentioned some of the misses there. I mean, I had some big misses. Don't ask me who I had to win the American League Central. We don't have to go into that. We all kind of like were taken aback by one of your wild card picks last year. You cooked with the Marlins, though.
Yeah.
Absolutely cooked with the Marlins.
Marlins will soar.
Didn't I? Yeah, Miami forever. Yeah.
And you mentioned that, Liam, Marlins was sore. We were 100% in on the baseball Creed. And Creed crossover months
That's
before.
Right. That's right.
We were
right.
there from day one.
So you know what? If we mention like a good Charlotte later on in the episode today and whoever wins the World Series gets on a big like Benji Madden, Joel Madden kick in October, you'll have heard it here first again on Pod on Lansdowne. Uh-huh. But again, summarize what we got into today. Jake's picks have been submitted to me. Jake wasn't able to make it for this segment.
Same overview. Thing last year.
Yeah, we were talking
What's
about the
up,
soft
Jake?
Year. I don't know. Are you beefing? Anything you want to spill? Like the Kendrick Lamar Drake situation?
I didn't want to get into it, but we kind of are. So it's just, you'd have to ask him about it. It's
too awkward. Yeah, you're not going to be the one to fire the first shot. You don't want to tell tales out of school.
No, it's, you know, it's I'm taking the high road.
That's right. Yeah, there you go. When he goes low, you go high.
Yeah.
We're going to start off with bold predictions, a very bold prediction, similar to what I have no fucking clue what Lucy's going to bring up this year for a bold prediction, but we're going to find out in a few moments. And then from there, pretty straightforward stuff. East Central and West Division winners in both the junior circuit and the senior circuit, as well as the three wildcard teams in the AL and NL. Award winners, Rookie of the Year, MVP, Cy Young, all that fun jazz. We will be mentioning who we think will be making it to the American League and National League Championship Series. Who's going to be winning the pennant, and then who's going to be winning the World Series. The World's apostrophe S Series, as it was known back in the day, but it's 2024 now, so we make it simpler. What's that line from Kevin in The Office? Why have more
words?
Yeah,
fewer words make more easier. More words make more, make more, less, fewer words make more simpler, something like that.
Someone's going to yell
Why use more words, but I can't remember the line exactly.
You know what we're talking
about? I'm not even going to try to say it because I would have done the same thing. I would have said it in some sort of.
Yeah,
and
well,
then Kevin spilled the chili, of course. Kevin
yes, of course
chili.
He did. Yes, that was prior to his fewer words. And he also was involved in some financial scheme because he, Martin, who was arrested, he was the convict in The Office. And he said, I had Martin explain to me what he did to get arrested 10 times because it sounds like what I do here every single day. So Shohei Ohtani's interpreter maybe was watching The Office.
Makes you think. That's actually the bold prediction right off the bat. Let's get into those bold predictions, though, and we'll have our guest go first. Lucy, you start us off here with our 2024 predictions episode. What is your bold prediction for the upcoming MLB season?
Yeah, Shohei Ohtani goes to federal prison. No, I think my first... no. I have some bold predictions, I will say, when it comes to my season-long picks, but I have one bet that I saw that I really like that we might know within the first five games of the season. This is the Red Sox to start the season 5-0. These odds.
Listen, that's bold.
Plus 2,500 for this. That's not that crazy. I think, you know, they can win their first five games. You just have to beat the A's once to finish it off. I think they can do it.
Yeah, I mean, if you get the first four, is it four games to start the year in Seattle?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Which, by the way...
In all of those...
Oh, you finish your point there first.
No, that's all. That's all. It's self-explanatory, because of course they can do it.
It's definitely bold. I mean, if the pitching in Seattle is very stout. They have a very good rotation. They're obviously led by Luis Castillo. I know they just lost Brian Wu on the 15-day IL. I saw that. That did not make me say Wu. I like watching Wu, but I did not say Wu to read that news. But Logan Gilbert, of course, George Kirby with that command, he can just dot up pitches. They have really good pitching. But hey, if the offense can hang around with them, I think that offense for Boston could potentially outpace the Mariners. And if it happens, Liam and Jake will be there to see it themselves.
Yeah.
Just based on how the pitching staff looked in the spring and the way the bats looked in Texas for these final two spring games.
Yeah.
They might be rolling into Seattle hot.
You know? There you go. So, there you go. First five games. That's why it's bold. But I think it's reasonable.
Now, speaking of the West Coast swing, I was talking to my dad about this earlier today as we record here Tuesday evening. I think people have been kind of complaining, like, oh my God, you start with 10 West Coast games. Like, are you kidding me? This is way too much. No, I'd rather them get the West Coast swing out of the way right at the start of the season so you don't have to go west of the Mississippi, like, beyond, like, two more times. I think they start in L.A. after the All-Star break, but that's really it. You have to go to Texas and you have to go to Houston later in the year, but get that West Coast swing out of the way first.
Yeah, start it with a 10 p.m. game. I think that's a really good way to keep the hype rolling. I think that's
start
really
the
fun.
Year with some late night yeah. Sox Twitter. Just come back at 500. I like that more for the Red Sox than having that happen in like the middle of June. It's like, oh, you know, if maybe they're coming off of a bad home stretch and then, oh shit, now we have 2 weeks out west. Just
yeah,
get it over
come
and
home,
done with.
They come home to the Red Sox fans who have barely slept because they're up watching the game. So maybe they're too delirious to see really what's happening if, you know, it all goes wrong.
That's a good
point.
I would agree, but I have PTSD from 2019, and I just pulled up the start of the year. They came back on April 9th after same thing. It was this was actually
they win the first five games.
11
lost
games.
Opening day. I remember that against us. Yeah.
They came back to Boston for opening day at 3-8.
Okay, well that was
a different year.
Just go 500. Yeah.
Did they have pitching passes at that time? Was Brian Baio pitching for them at that time? No. So
he was rookie best player for them at the time. Yes, he was.
Yeah, he was. But you know what? It's a different year. It's new year, new them. You know, they're going to be filmed for Netflix. Year, so. Yeah.
Under the radar. Different. We're starting the year under the radar.
Yeah.
So.
God, that feels like a fucking lifetime ago. Jesus,
yeah, and 19. I think a lot of people are going to be surprised. So if you have that bet at plus 2,500, then good for you.
Speaking of surprises... Jake's bold take, and I'm reading it. He actually has two bold takes here, and I'll read them both, and you guys can maybe do a power ranking of the two. Verbatim. Last place Yankees, so stealing your bit there from last year, Liam.
Bold prediction from last year, that's okay.
Plagiarism. And an original one, Acuna goes 50-50, 50 homers, 50 steals. Your thoughts?
I don't hate those. The Yankees one I agree with.
You do think the Yankees are going to come in the DFL. Oh, boy. Acuna 50-50, I think, makes sense. And, God, I would love that for fantasy purposes.
I don't hate those.
The harder
Acuna,
sell there is
Acuna
the 50
feels, Acuna feels within reach, quite honestly. 50-50 feels definitely within reach. The Yankees one scares me. I wouldn't feel as confident about that one this year. Just based
I don't
on the
feel confident
edition.
At all, and you'll hear that in just a couple of minutes from me. it's the 50 homers that will be tougher, but you have the protection of a Matt Olson and Austin Riley in that lineup. He's going to get enough ABs at the top of that lineup, which might be the best in baseball. You know, who's to say? You can argue the Dodgers, but you know, with the expanded bases, maybe he doesn't reach 70 again, but even think like a quarter of those steals are taken away, you're still in that shot of getting 50 swipes. So I do like that prediction from Jake.
Yeah, those aren't bad.
There you go. Yeah, again, like just like if you took a considerable chunk amount out of 70, like, okay, he's still like that's like four dozen stolen bases, which is absurd, even with the new rules. So, yeah, Ronald Acuna is the man. I'm a big fan of his. Yeah. I think he's pretty good. Liam, your bold prediction.
So this one came to me right before we hopped on.
In a vision.
Yeah. In a vision. Mm-hmm. And it'll be interesting once you hear my actual like full season predictions. But I think the Red Sox will make a major splash at the trade deadline this year.
Define major splash.
They will ship off one of the big three.
Prospect. Ooh.
Yes. Yes. For a major league ready.
And baby bro.
That or starter. I that part was still unclear in my vision. Whether it was a starter.
You have to do another reading.
Position player. Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes the lines get crossed.
I need some incense. I need to start burning incense.
So that kind of implies you think that the Red Sox are going to be in the hunt by the time late July rolls around.
I do. And I think after 2 years in a row where they fell flat and sort of sat on their hands, I think there'll be pressure to make a big move, especially after the full throttle off season we just saw. Mm-hmm. So whether or not it's a good move for them to make, I think a move will be made. So
Okay. Take
that with a grain of salt. It could be ill-advised. I don't know. That part's unclear.
Clears up, let us know.
Yeah, I'll keep everyone posted.
This is obviously just speculation on your part, but I have to ask here, who do you think out of the three would be the most likely to be shipped off, Liam?
Oh.
Get in the zone.
Most likely, for me, I would say Meyer, but I think in this vision, I'm seeing bits of Roman Anthony being shipped off.
Just bits of him?
They're going to yell at you.
Just bits, just pieces. Not because that's the one. Not because that's the one I would move. Quite honestly, if it were up to me, I think, and this is mostly just because we didn't see him play a ton last year. The value's low. Like you'd go, okay. Like if we had to move one, I'd say Meyer. But if he plays a full season this year, we've already seen what he can do. Like still a top. God, what is it? 15 prospect in the game. So Teal for me is the one that's untouchable. A good catcher. Oh my God. Dreams. Yeah. Or Meyer.
You're like a soothsayer right now. Were they from Macbeth, I think? Was that a Macbeth?
It was probably a Macbeth thing.
Macbeth or Hamlet?
Like Greek mythology. You're like the Long Island medium. read Oris.
Same thing. Macbeth, Long Island.
It's either Shakespeare or the Long Island medium. It's either one or is somewhere in between.
A Midsummer Night's Dream in Long Island.
Yeah, exactly.
There was a soothsayer in Julius Caesar.
Okay. So I was on the right track.
One of the
tragedy of Julius Caesar.
Yeah.
He warned. He did. The soothsayer warned Caesar of his impending doom. So impending doom.
What's that tweet? It's like tarot card pulls out card of me flying hot air balloon into electrical wires. Me. Is that bad? My bold prediction for the year. I was almost going to be petty and do this with the Chicago White Sox after they burned me last year when I picked them to win the Central. But then I sat back and I'm like, nah, their division is too bad for this to be a reality. So I pivoted here. The Colorado Rockies are going to lose 120 games this year at least.
Oh.
They are a mess of an organization.
You think they'll be worse than the A's?
Worse than the A's? Yes, I think so. I think by proxy, I mean, that division, man, I understand that it's more common play. You have less games against your division, but that's still, 13-14 games against the Dodgers, 13-14 games against the reigning NL pennant winners, who improved this offseason, 13-14 games against the Giants and the Padres, who we'll get to, I'm sure, later in the program. They're no slouches either. And then you have the Rockies. Like, they're just, I have no idea what they're trying to do there, man. And I haven't for a while, but especially this year. This feels like a rock bottom situation here.
You didn't like the Tovar extension?
What's that, sorry?
You didn't like the Tovar extension?
I think he's a fine enough of a player. I think he has to figure it out with the offense. If he can keep up with on the defensive end, he has potential. But that's all, even if he does pick up on offense, that's still one part of the machine.
Where's the rest of the team?
They have no pitching. Chris Bryant, I love in my heart for Chris Bryant. He was fun to watch when he was on, but so far that has been no bueno there, that contract.
Did you see his comments over the winter? Where he was Chris, like, yeah, I may have like rushed that decision, essentially, in a nutshell. He was like, guys are signing. It was getting late in the offseason. And he was basically kind of like, yeah, basically. Yeah. And he was like, this is the best offer on the table.
Arrested Development, yeah. I've made a huge mistake. Made a huge mistake.
Yeah, basically, he quite honestly, it was quite recent too, I think. But
yeah,
just
well,
a strange organization.
Nolan Jones, good find for them. Fine enough of a player. He could excel at cores. He could be fine. But again, just one part of the team.
Yeah.
It is bleak in Colorado. I think it's going to be really bad. And I think they're going to, my bold prediction, 120 losses.
Okay.
I think they could be worse than the A's.
Okay. Don't hate that at all.
Again, it's a bold prediction. We didn't say tepid.
Right. They weren't like mid predictions. They're not like ho hum.
You'd say, look out for the Orioles this year.
Yeah, I think the Dodgers are going to win the World Series. No, this is bold.
Good pivot into the AL East. Lucy, who's taking home the AL Beast crown in 2024?
So I'm very high on the Orioles ahead of this season, going into this season. I think it will be the Orioles. When you look at the rest of the division, you're just like, yeah, I think it will be the Orioles. I don't want to spoil my other picks, but the Orioles.
Jake agrees. He says Baltimore.
Okay, good, because I'll have him know that it is plus 1,800. I also have odds for all of mine. Plus, not 1,800, plus 180 for them to win the division.
Good for the brand there. The BetMGM lines.
They are all BetMGM. Thank
not
you very much.
Not a sponsor. Yes.
Not a sponsor at all. Yes. No, I have no special offer for anyone with code Lucy.
I can be bought. I'll have you.
No, absolutely not.
Okay, Liam, are you in agreement there, Baltimore?
Yes, I think they win the division. I think they win the division handedly by quite a lot.
It's a clean sweep, yes. Yeah. I would have been tempted to have said the Yankees had Cole start of the year healthy. Obviously not the case. We don't have to belabor this point too much. Baltimore, for the division, obviously the acquisition of Corbin Burnes is massive, and it sucks. Yeah, they're not going to have Bradish, but G-Rod could take a step forward. And the offense, even though there's not like one huge stellar star hitter, it feels like that offense is greater. What's the saying? Greater than the sum of its
parts.
Right, they come together, and it's a pretty deep of a line. It's a lot of quality hitters
it's
on
so
that
balanced
offense. Exactly. You know, Gunnar in his second year, he could take a step forward. Obviously, Adley. When Jackson Holiday comes up, maybe he hits the ground running.
That almost made me a pick for later. That made me switch it, but no, it just made me really mad. I was like,
MVP. You were going to pick him for MVP.
Yeah, I was definitely going to pick him for MVP. I have another MVP pick, but no, that made me angry. But I still think that he will come up at some point. So that gives me hope for the Orioles to win the division.
And still good, you know, with the addition of Kimbrel, you know, he's solid enough. And Cano was great last year. You lose the mountain, sure, but, you know, still fine enough of a pitching staff. And I think that'll be enough to give them the division. AL Central, Lucy.
Okay.
Who are you rocking with?
Okay, I'm going with the Twins, which isn't the boldest. They are favored, minus 125. But they won their third division title in 5 years last year. I think they'll do it again here. I just think the Twins, I'm pretty high on them this season.
Jake agrees. He is riding with Minnesota to win the division once again.
Ethan, but we're agreeing.
Yeah, going to be great. You know, sometimes it's like a yin and yang situation sometimes between Wallinger and Burge. Liam, AL Central? Worst division of baseball?
I am going a little bold. I'm riding with the Guardians.
The Guardians?
Yes. I like the Central is so hard to pick. I think we all know for sure the White Sox will not be good. But I do think the Twins, like Lucy already said, they have an edge there. I think the rotation's the best, and you know, the lineup is more balanced. They have better depth. I don't know. I mean, the Guardians, I think there'll be the surprise of the season what I'll say. I love my guy, J Ram. Still Bieber. They still have McKenzie. Like their pieces there where if things go right,
Bobby's good enough of a pitcher.
Yeah, exactly. So
Kyle Manzardo could come up and he can make an impact in that lineup, which they're going to need that offense. I think if they are going to go far,
100%.
Well, I think it was Cespedes Family Barbecue. I think Jake Mintz said that outfield might combine for 12 home runs this year with Stephen Kwan, Miles Straw. You know what I mean?
Miles Straw. They could use Miles Straw, Instagram follower of mine.
How about that? There
use
you go.
My stories. Yep.
Friend of the program, Miles Straw. Come on the pod, Miles.
Like, oh, Miles Straw. Hello. Yeah.
But I think if J-Ram will obviously carry the load, but like if Andre Jimenez can get back to what he was 2 years ago, Josh Naylor, you know, he'll hit.
I think Naylor a lot. And Bo, too, behind the plate, his brother.
Both of them.
Yeah.
So Stephen Vogt, first year as manager. Yeah. I like the guy.
I keep forgetting that he's their manager.
Yeah.
I'm going with a secret third option.
The
Chicago White Sox to win the No, of course not.
The Royals,
I almost got really slutty and picked the other really bad team from last year in the Central because I like what Kansas City has done.
Mm-hmm.
The Detroit Tigers are going to win the American League Central this year.
I like that.
Okay. I like the Detroit Tigers this year.
Okay.
I understand that their ballpark is tough for hitters, but I like Torkelson to take a step forward. Colt Keith could be a sneaky pick for the American League Rookie of the Year.
Big aura.
Yeah.
All Javi Baez has to do is not have like a negative 200 OPS plus and just play stellar defense and he could be fine. Carpenter is a really underrated hitter. I like him at DH. Riley Green takes a step forward. The pitching is solid. I really like getting Kenta Maeda there as a middle of the rotation sort of a guy. I like the steps that the Tigers are taking. I think a lot of people see like, oh, you know, like they have a bright enough of a future. Kiesse Mai is getting healthy again. You know, maybe they could be something down the line. I think the opportunity for them to strike is hot. I think the Twins, it makes sense for them to be the odds-on favorite in the Central. Losing Sonny Gray hurts, and that offense is also depending on the health of Byron Buxton, Correa, and Royce Lewis, which that's not necessarily, you know, a quality bet to take. They all have their injury issues. Obviously, you know, guys like they're fun to watch when they are healthy, but it's an if not a when they're healthy sort of deal for them. So I'm feeling the Tigers this year.
I like that. I thought, you know, they've been coming, especially like the young arms have been coming.
Folks. Buddy.
That's, you know, what she said.
Hey now.
It's like an inside the NBA bit. But,
but you're banging against the dude.
But no, I like that pick, Fitz. I think I was probably sleeping on them this offseason more than I should have. But
I think a lot of people.
You've shown me the light. Yeah. I was disappointed after last year.
Now, of course, that's the AL Central kiss of death. They're going to lose over 100 games. It's going to go up in smoke. And the rebuild begins again in the Motor City.
Division's wide open.
There you go. It's the worst division. Someone legally is obligated to win that division.
Yes, someone has to.
So, Lucy, AL West, going out west. Are you going with the defending champions, going in a different direction? What are we doing?
You read my mind. I'm going with the defending champions. The Rangers are plus 250 behind the Astros here. I like they just won the World Series. I can't not take them to win this division. So I would take them over the Astros any day.
You and Jake again.
Good God. I think we're actually in love, I think is what's going on. That's what's happening.
What a U-turn from these 20 minutes or so.
Do you see anything in your visions about soulmates, maybe?
I'll keep looking.
Yeah.
So he's Rangers. Going with the Rangers.
Okay, Jake, we'll go Rangers, I guess.
Liam?
I can't give up on the Astros. I can't.
Me and you, dude.
Until somebody tosses them off the throne there in the West, I can't. I can't bet against them. The lineup still has, you know, Tucker, Bregman, Alvarez,
Altuve, like, was excellent last year after he came back from injury.
And he just got the extension.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that core is so good. I know Bregman's in a walk year. He could turn into 2019 Bregman again, for all we know.
Ryan Presley is arguably their third best reliever. That's crazy. Like,
it's nuts.
Abreu and Hader, 7-9.
Yeah.
That's going to shorten a lot of games. I know there's some question marks with their pitching. Oh, is Verlander going to bounce back? Christian Javier, you know, how?
Fromber's my guy. Fromber's inevitable.
They're going to be able to shorten enough games.
His strikeout props, I take the over all the time. I'm really excited to start doing that again.
They still, They've still, I mean,
amazing.
Chaz McCormick feels like one of the most underrated players in baseball too. He should be getting more at bats in that lineup now with Dusty. Who's the kid that they have at catcher now? They're not going to be playing Martin Maldonado.
It's Diaz, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I think that's,
yeah, he was playing catcher and DH all year. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think the Astros are gonna. They're getting wildly disrespected. I understand that the Rangers have some aura. They just obviously coming off of.
Jake and I will see you guys at the end of the season, and we'll see who.
My thing was
win this. Which team?
I was so tempted to lean towards the Rangers.
Yeah, because it's a good pick.
But I started looking at the starting pitching, and I just, there's so many guys with injury histories.
Scherzer out for a while. DeGrom.
Yeah, they don't have Creed on their side and with like, arms wide open.
It feels like Nate's an every other year guy now. So who knows?
We'll see.
I couldn't. The pitching to me, I feel like the Astros, they're just a machine. So I can't bet against them.
Yeah, Lucy, I'd say Liam and I are saying those arms are not wide open right now.
maybe he was, won't get every other year guy this year.
You saying, Liam?
There was a piece of me that wanted to go Seattle and go really big and bold, but just based on their pitching alone. But I don't think their lineup stacks up with either of those teams.
I would agree with that as well. I think Texas has enough juice to carry them to the point where Max and DeGrom are healthy enough to get them into the dance. And I'll spoil that. They're one of my wild card teams. Liam, you have them.
I knew my Seattle pick was gonna open up that can of worms. But I have Texas and Seattle as wild cards.
Texas and Seattle as wild cards. Lucy, who are your three wild card teams?
Okay, so Seattle is one of mine. Actually, they are -165 to make the playoffs. My other one, the Red Sox, +260. That's one of my bold predictions. I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think they're going to make the playoffs this year. I think they're going to surprise a lot of people, and they will make the playoffs. Also, the Astros.
And the Astros make it.
-500 to make the playoffs. But I think the Red Sox will make the playoffs as a wild card team. Well, I don't think it's that crazy.
Well, with Liam's girlfriend's album, Dua Lipa, being, what is it, Radical Optimism? That's what we're seeing right here with the Red Sox.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the motto now.
Yeah. These Dua Lipa kissing everybody else's butt while the Red Sox make the playoffs.
You know what? Vai con Dios there.
That's one of my other bold predictions.
Right? So, okay. Yeah. So you got.
Everyone will see. It's going to be okay.
You'll all see.
We will see. They're going to start 5-0,
and they will lose every other game, but they will, God damn it, they will start 5-0.
There you go. And that will be enough to propel them into the wild card, fingers crossed. Along that, Houston and Seattle. I heard that right?
Yes, Seattle, Red Sox, and Houston.
Okay. Jake agrees with you on the Astros and the Mariners, but he says the Blue Jays making it into that third wild card spot.
This is where I can get the upper hand on Jake. This is where he and I can have a battle.
There you go. Finally, some difference there in opinion.
Okay.
Liam, who are your three wild card teams in the junior circuit?
So I already mentioned Texas and Seattle, and I went with the Red Sox last year. They burned me big time. I tried to be optimistic. I'm going with the Blue Jays as the number one wild card in the American League. I think it's the make or break year for that core. We know Bichette's good. We know Vlad. We know what Vlad is capable of. If he can get back to that 2019 Vlad, that team's terrifying. Gausman at the top of the rotation. It doesn't get much better than that. I think if there's a team that's going to push the Orioles, it's going to be them.
Interesting.
And I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
So I'm going in a little bit of different direction than everyone here. I'm going to get yelled at for this. I 100% understand that. And what I mentioned about their pitching staff last night, Liam, and you'll hear it later on in this episode, that's a tease. I'm definitely going to get yelled at that for this, but that's fine. Yankees are making the playoffs, guys. The Yankees are going to make the playoffs. I don't like it. I'm just trying to tell you like it is. I think they're good enough to make it into the wild card. I'll also go with Texas, like I mentioned. I think they have enough juice. Okay. And then I'll be the lone wolf on this as well. Death, taxes, and the Tampa Bay Rays always figuring it out. If there's one thing I've learned over these last 15 years is that no matter what, The names change, the faces change, but the Rays are going to figure it out. I think people are going to be mystified at how good Ryan Pepiot could be with the Tampa Bay pitching machine. They're going to have 20 random guys in their bullpen who have all sub 1.5 ERAs. Yandy Diaz is going to be in the MVP conversation. They're going to call up Junior. He's going to be great, and those fucking Rays are going to find their way into the postseason again.
Okay. I'm ready to be mystified by them then.
I believe – I feel like once I got past the division winners, I mean, regardless of the Central is kind of falls into this category. There is – and I don't know, for better or worse, there is so much – parity in the league now, and
yeah,
I think obviously the extra wild card lends itself to that, and it's like there aren't really too many god awful teams. There's really just three, where the Rockies, like Fitz talked about, the White Sox and the A's. Those are really the only three teams you can pencil in and be like, these teams are losing 100 games. Anybody else, you know, sans the Dodgers, the Braves, the Orioles, say the Astros too. Yeah. Like you can pencil them in for 90. You can pencil that bottom barrel for 100. Anybody else, it could go either way.
Yeah, 90 wins or 70 wins one way or the other at that point.
Yeah, this is and very true.
We saw last year the Diamondbacks. You just get in with 84 wins.
Yep.
Who knows?
Phillies the year before. You just got to get into the dance and you go from there. Now we have a fork in the road here. Do we want to go into our AL awards picks? Or do we want to do the NL picks for the playoffs, and then we do award season altogether, and then go to the playoffs? What do we want to do? Choose your own adventure.
That's up to you.
No, you're the guest.
Oh, okay. We could do awards. Let's do awards.
Okay, AL awards. ALMVP, Lucy. Who is it?
Okay. All right, you guys. AL MVP this season, Tristan Casas. I said this a couple weeks ago, and I got completely roasted. But you know who agreed with me? A lot of people did not.
Tristan Casas?
You know who agreed with me? Tristan Casas. I want to make it my Twitter header, honestly, but I don't know if I should. But it's an Instagram DM from him. He replied to my story. He said, I have a lot of faith in you, Lucille. And I said, thank you, Tristan. So I can't go back on it now. I can't go back on it now. He knows. So Tristan Casas plus 12,500 to win AL MVP this season. Thank you very much.
I mean, if you're going to go with them for the wild card anyways, they're going to have to be lifted by someone.
Exactly. Their star, Tristan Casas.
Not the most outlandish Red Sox awards pick.
It's not that crazy.
Bunch here, knowing,
it's not that crazy.
Knowing what the fourth individual here has later on, I'll mention it in a few minutes. I would say, Lucy, Casas for MVP is not as crazy as what you're about to hear from Mr. Wallinger in a few moments.
Okay.
Wallinger did pick Julio Rodriguez to win the American League MVP. That's I don't hate that pick whatsoever.
That's a snooze. You know what? That's boring.
I mean, he's so goddamn good. I feel like he had kind of a down year last year, but if Seattle is going to make a push, like you guys might be suggesting, it's going to have to come, at least on the offensive side, it's going to have to come from J-Rod. And I think he has the capacity to do that. He has the facilities to do that, big man, I would say. So J-Rod for MVP, according to Jake. Liam, who do you got there?
So the first vision that comes to mind is the Japanese soldier from World War II still fighting 30 years after the war ended. And last year, I took Mike Trout to win AL MVP. I'm taking Mike Trout to win MVP again. Okay. He only played 82 games. I still believe he's only going to be 32 this year.
He played 82 games, but he still had like 60 homers. He was great.
And I don't know. I think he's got one more in him. I just got to see it out. And I'll pick him until it happens.
Speaking of memes from Mike Trout, that meme of the guy going to the cat in the window is like, we're going to get you out of here.
That's him in Anaheim.
Yeah. He's like, we're going to save Mike Trout one way or the other. I was tempted, you know, I mean, and it would make sense since I have the Yankees in the wild card to go with Juan Soto. I know that's a bit of a chalky pick, and I could totally see that. There's one player in a division winning team that I picked. I don't know if regular fans of baseball know how good this dude is. I think he's got 30-30 plus potential I think he's one hell of a player. He does everything well. My AL MVP pick this year, Kyle Tucker of the Astros. Dude is so good.
That's not bad.
Consistently, I like that. Consistently a great hitter. He was like in the 95th percentile of ex-WOBA last year. He's going to be moved up the lineup now, presumably, now that Dusty Baker isn't the manager. He was batted like 6th and like 7th when Dusty was at the helm. Bump him up to like the 3 spot, 2 spot, 4 spot, something. You're going to see those counting numbers go up. He's one hell of a player entering his prime now. I like Kyle Tucker for MVP this year.
His odds, just looking, plus 1,800 at BetMGM. That's not bad.
He's one of the 10 best players in baseball, I would say.
Value there.
He does everything well. Everything. There's no huge hole in his, no glaring hole in his game. I think he's a great player. So put that in.
That's pretty good. He's no Justin Gossens, but you know.
Fair enough. Fair
Who
enough.
Is?
Exactly. AL Cy Young, Lucy.
Okay.
Also Tristan Casas or so, what
do we got? Yeah, I think he will win everything. Cy Young, I think he'll win.
Move over, Shohei.
He'll just be in the Hall of Fame at the end of this year, I think. Yeah, Shohei Ohtani can get lost. Pablo Lopez, plus 1,100 are the odds on this. I love this for him. I love for him to win the Cy Young. He would be the first Twins pitcher, fun fact, since Johan Santana to win this. So I think he had a very encouraging final outing of the spring. I think that bodes very well for him this season. He's the opening day starter. I think he is going to have a Cy Young season this year. So plus 1,100 for Pablo Lopez.
Luis Arraez, great player. And, you know, he was on, you know, everyone's like, oh my God, he's going to hit 400 last year. I'm pretty confident in saying that the Twins cooked in that trade to get Pablo Lopez for a guy who's just a slap single hitter. Good player on his own, in his own right, but Lopez is a great pitcher, and he's way younger than you think. He's like 27. Yeah. I was looking it up the other day. I'm like, how old is Lopez? He's got to be like, what, like 30, 31? Nope. He is a spring chicken.
Drop that skincare routine.
There you go, right? Exactly. All right, moment of truth here for Jake. Anyone want to guess who he picked for Cy Young?
Oh, no, Pablo Lopez?
No.
Oh no,
Liam. Any guesses?
Did he pick?
I'm actually not sure.
I don't know.
Captain Canada himself, Nick Pivetta for
Cy Young.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I believe.
Coaches.
Right? I'm with it.
Okay.
God, that I told you it was not the most outlandish Red Sox awards pick, Lucy.
I'm about to have another more outlandish pick. But yeah, I think that's great for him. That's good for him.
Your truth, Jake. There you go.
Go on.
Liam, Cy Young.
Also Nick Pivetta. No, I'm just kidding. keep them coming. Keep them coming. I will say for Jake, at least, like, Pivetta with the sweeper this year, I am expecting big things. I am not bold enough to say he will win the Cy Young. For me, that award goes to George Kirby this year. I've talked about Seattle's pitching already. I think he's only gotten better, and he's only thrown more innings in his 2 seasons. He's a lock for 25, 30 starts. As long as he stays healthy, he's going to be in the conversation by the end of the year. And like I said, I have Seattle in the playoffs. I think between him and J-Rod, they could carry him there.
Fair enough.
Pavetta's odds, plus 15,000.
No!
That's a little unfair for George. The dude can put it exactly where he wants it every time. It's impressive. Yeah.
And I will say, I hated the flack he got at the end of last year when I think there was the whole situation was like, do you want to go back out there or something? And he was like, no, like, I'm done. Like, I've given everything. And we talk about protecting pitchers. Look at all the pitchers that have gotten hurt this spring.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Laundry.
Know your body, guys. Your body.
Listen to your body and respect it. It is your temple.
Yeah, exactly.
Body is a vessel. And then that's where you get all your visions. If you treat your body
exactly.
Well. Yeah, be one with the earth.
I am hardly the first person to jump on this dude's bandwagon for Cy Young this year, and I probably won't be the last. He's been a bit of a trendy pick, but I am a true believer in Tarek Skubal. I think he's going to win the Cy Young this year.
That was my like A2. I was like, sleeper.
Yeah. I mean, his stuff is overpowering when it's on. He's taken a couple of years to grow, you know, to become the pitcher that he is, but he's legit. He's one of the best lefties in baseball, I think. Liam and Lucy here, only 15 starts last year.
Yeah.
280 ERA, which is great. Yeah. Want to guess what his FIP was fielding independent pitching? Even two. Even two. The stuff is there. 0.896 whip, to be specific, last year. Dude's electric. And again, if he's got a good enough of a defense behind him, he's in a pitcher's park. I think those numbers are going to look nice. He's going to have enough strikeouts to be impressive, I believe. Last year, K per nine, 11.4.
Ooh.
Yeah. This dude's really good. Bad.
Plus 1,000 odds.
If you're in a fantasy league and you haven't had your draft yet and he's still hanging around in the last couple of, not last couple of rounds, but like, I don't know where he's probably going, like round four or five. The point is, this is going to be your last chance to draft Tarik Skubal at a relative discount, because I think he's going to skyrocket. I think he's a really, really good pitcher, and he's my pick for Cy Young this year.
Okay.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah. Lucy, one question for you.
Yes, please.
Who will be the baby of the year?
That's what they should name this. I think,
in the American League in general, not the
Central. I'm going to go Bart Harley Jarvis. He's the best baby. I caught his dad in the bathroom. Tiny Dinky Zappy. Wyatt Langford. Wyatt Langford, AL Rookie of the Year. Because, I mean, it's a little bit of a chalky pick. It's a little bit basic. But how can you not pick Wyatt Langford? He is the baby of the year. Plus 225 are his odds. So I'm taking those. A little bit of value left there. Wyatt Langford.
Kid rakes.
Yeah.
Kid.
He's ready.
Is authority.
As Sarah Langs tweeted today, he's ready.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Sarah Langs knows her ball, too. Mm-hmm. Another bold pick related to the Red Sox for Jake. He's going with Seti. He's going with Rafael.
Oh,
I don't hate that, honestly. I saw his name on the list of odds and I was like, good for him.
Sky high upside on offense, but also some not upside. He's got a lower floor considering his ability to chase, but obviously the defense is there. And he'll have a chance to get the playing time. That's part of the battle here to get enough ABs, enough appearances. Jake going with his homer picks. He's got Nick Pavetta as Cy Young, and he's got Seti for Rookie of the Year. No Red Sox in the wild card, though.
I know. Which is it? That's a loser move. Okay.
Liam, are you going with Jackson Holliday to go back to your Maryland roots, or what's the
thing? No, I am supporting your cause for the Detroit Tigers, and I mentioned his aura earlier in the program. I'm taking Colt Keith.
Colt Keith.
Absolutely mashed. He's mashed at every level. He looks cool. I like it.
Yeah, looking cool is part of it. That's
both
true.
He's got the what do they call it? He passes the eye test and the
Lucy left. Oh no.
We lost Lucy.
She'll be able to jump back into the show. But you're saying about Colt Keith?
Across Double A and Triple A last year, 126 games, 306, 380, 552. The OPS was 932. I think he'll be able to handle major league pitching.
Yes,
as Lucy returns.
I mean,
it crashed.
It happens from time to time. But
yeah, we always have technical difficulties here. So
money talks on that Colt Keith front. What was the contract he got? He got a bag from the team.
Let me look it up.
Something like 7-8 year or something like that. He got paid. So good for him. And again, he's going to have the shot to
6 years, 228 million. That's going to look like a bargain.
So not seven or eight, as I said, but no, again, good enough of a player. I also went with a Texas Ranger outfielder and I was considering Wyatt Langford. No shade on him. The tiebreaker went to the guy who was already mashing in the postseason en route to a World Series championship and the guy who's still eligible for it. Evan Carter, Rookie of the Year in the American League. Already has that experience at this point, you know, playing games against the Angels and the A's. I mean, that's got to be a cakewalk if he's been able to
He looked so seasoned last year. It was crazy.
I feel like that's – I mean, not to chirp everyone else's pick, but I'm like, that seems pretty straightforward to me considering already seasoned enough, already has his feet wet on the biggest stage. No, I'm riding with Evan Carter there for the American League Rookie of the Year. Okay. To the senior circuit we go. National League East. Another great division here on the East Coast. Maybe the best team in baseball in this division. Do we want to just skip the formalities here? Is everyone saying the Braves?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry.
Odds, I will say, they're -275. I wouldn't touch it, but I would pick them.
Yes, and again, you know, no shade on the Phillies. They're good enough of a team, too. Maybe the Mets have one of those aura runs, you know what I mean, where they're able to get back into the race. And Miami, a playoff team last year, but I think it's pretty hands down that the Braves are the best team in the division. They look better than they were last year, and they won like 600 games last year. And Chris Sale slicing already. I'm already loathing.
I will get to this.
I am already loathing the revisionist history conversations regarding one Christopher Allen Sale.
Okay.
If he does have a season that I think the, you're implying he's going to have
it started the day we traded him, folks.
Yep.
I'll put a pin in it. That's a tease. So,
okay.
Bravos in the East.
Mm-hmm.
Lucy, who are you riding with in the NL Central?
Yes, so I'm going with the Cubs here. Their odds are +190. I love the Cubs here. The division, this one's pretty wide open as well. I think ultimately it will be the Cubs who take the NL Central.
Okay, there. Imanaga being added to that rotation.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting enough, he could be an NL Rookie of the Year candidate as well. Jake is going with the Cubby Bears as well. He likes the friendly confines, apparently. Liam, you were fist bumping when the Cubs were mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to assume you picked them to win the division.
I sure have. I think they'll win it quite handedly. I think the only team that'll give them a bit of a run is the Cardinals, but I do not trust that old starting rotation that they've put together in St. Louis. Exactly. And, you know, I don't think Craig Counsell would have taken the job if he didn't think the Cubs were going to be good. I think he's being paid as the best manager in the league. I think he is the best manager in the league. And, you know, they brought back Bellinger. I think remains to be seen whether he's actually fully back, but I do think between the lineup that they have with him, Swanson, Suzuki, Nico is great, and who am I forgetting? I think maybe it was just Nico, but because I think Nico is incredibly underrated.
Picard Armstrong, if he comes up potentially, he's
and then maybe like you said,
by Bellinger, but
Justin Steele. Quite frankly, I think he was robbed of the NL Cy Young last year. And I really thought the Cubs were going to sneak into the playoffs last year before that game in Atlanta where Suzuki dropped the fly ball. I'm riding with them. I think they make that little final push this year.
With another secret third option in the Central.
Okay.
This is a bit of an aura vibes pick, admittedly.
Cincinnati
Reds are going to win the Central.
I was going to take them. Oh.
They're so deep offensively.
Oh, Mr. Redlegs.
They have a ton of depth on that offense, and it's a hitter-friendly park. I like that a lot.
It's a bandbox.
Similar enough to the Tigers, I feel like their team, like, everyone's thinking they're going in the right direction. Maybe they need another year until they're on the scene. No, I think they're here. Hunter Green's healthy, ready to roll. Is he not? I really like him. They have improved within the margins in free agency enough. Like Frankie Montas, not that he's going to be wowing anyone, but to have that to add to your pitching depth, I don't think that's a bad move. I think that's pretty shrewd by them. I really like what the Reds are cooking up in Cincinnati. So I could see, honestly, maybe not all five teams winning the NL Central here, but at least four of the five there. Like, I don't know if I could see an argument for Pittsburgh winning the Central, but even the Brewers, like, I could see it, which, by the way, Baseball Reference, rather, saying that they have, like, the sixth best odds to win the World Series, Milwaukee. I thought that was fucking crazy.
That's crazy. There, something's going on over there. Some kind of drugs they're taking or something.
We have to find out what's going on.
They're on the good stuff.
Cubby Bears, I could see that. You made some good points on the Cubs. The Cardinal Devil Magic is never truly dead. It just goes dormant from time to time.
Yeah. I mean, Goldschmidt and Arenado still. That's why I think like they have the bats still to push them. But.
Yeah.
But no, even.
Sonny Gray, Lance Lynn.
I mean, Gray was coming off a great year. He's just hurt to start the season in 24. But no, I like the bats in Cincinnati, even after losing Noelvi for, 80 games for PEDs? Christian Encarnacion Strand is one guy.
Incredible name.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, right.
Name alone.
I'm excited to see what that jersey looks like with the Fanatics last name. It might just be a full circle there. But no, give me the Red Legs there in the Central. In the interest of time, again, NL West, is anyone going against the Dodgers?
No. And their odds are -550.
Yeah, and again, not I wouldn't touch that if I were sprinkling a little money.
That's nuts.
Everyone going Dodgers, 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 Dodgers.
Yeah, I wanted to so badly. I was reading up earlier today, and I know I lied to you, Fitz. I was like, I didn't have any time to prep, but I did have like a quick 30 minutes at work today where I was like, okay, I'm going to take a deep dive. And I spent a majority of my time on the West because I was like, I want a reason not to pick them, and I couldn't find one.
Yeah, it's exactly it. It's like, how do they not? I know that they're, I don't think they're going to reach the expectations that potentially like a World Series perhaps, but I think they have to win the division at least.
Yeah.
100%. They're that good. Yeah.
Pretty straightforward there. As for the wild cards, could be a little bit more interesting. Mm. Lucy?
Yes.
You cooked, you cooked with the Marlins last year.
Sure did. My NL wild card picks are really just, they're cooking again, I think. The Giants. I'm taking the Giants. Okay. Taking the Phillies. Okay. And the Diamondbacks. They went to the World Series last year. I think they're going to still be good this year. They have to at least make the playoffs, I think.
Would you believe me if I told you that Jake said Phillies, Giants, Diamondbacks as well?
You've got to be kidding.
What is happening here?
I am not joking. I don't know.
Jake, you asshole. Okay. Maybe I am Jake.
He got the scoop. Somebody leaked it to him.
Jake, maybe I did this on a Google Doc. Maybe I shared it with Jake by accident.
We've hacked into Lucy's data frame
what
here.
The hell? I'm in.
So really? He goes Phillies, Giants, Diamondbacks.
I think he stole from my bank account is what's happening.
He stole $4.5 million. Yeah, check if you're missing $4.5 million.
I wouldn't notice that anyway. So he could have. He can have it. It's fine. He might.
Liam, your wild card teams?
I was very tempted to go with a sweep for the NL West, but I think that's too bold. So I'm picking the Phillies, the Padres, and the Giants.
And as am I. Liam and I are twinning a little bit here. Phillies, Padres, Giants.
I wanted the Diamondbacks to get back so bad, but I think, you know, there was only 84 wins. I do still think they get better this year record-wise, but that division is going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah.
I really do. I think people are sleeping on the Padres. I know the Giants only just signed Snell, but I still like that. Like, he'll still be there by – he'll be ramped up, say, by May 1st.
Really like the improvements that the Giants have made. Chapman at third. When you have
Jung-Hui, a guy like Solaire, like I like that some team. Pop.
When you have a guy like a Logan Webb who can spin a ton of ground balls.
Yes.
Get someone like a Matt Chapman to feel Logan
Webb. Him. Yeah, I almost took Logan Webb Cy Young, and I wanted to
hold that thought.
But I'm not.
But you mentioned people sleeping on the Padres. I understand that the vibes last year, Liam, were so incredibly fucked with that team. You know,
still
they
so much talent.
You know,
still
they had
so much talent there.
You know their run differential for a team that went 82-80. Their run differential was over 100.
Was it
they
really?
Had 752 runs last year compared to 648 runs coughed up. That's an 82-80 record, but Pythagorean would be 92-70. They would have easily made the playoffs in that regard. I think they're due for a huge bounce back. I really do. You got Tatis now after all his shit with the motorcycles and the PED and the ringworm, all that kind of stuff. All that's done. Ringworm. Normal spring training. He can get back into the mix. Xander in year two, can he improve after kind of up and down season? Machado's still there.
Still
just got Dylan Cease, and that kind of plugs that's the hole true. In for Snell, Michael King being there. They're due for a bounce back, I think. So the Padres making the playoffs as a wild card team, I agree with you there. And the Phillies for a lot of other divisions, I think they'd win it outright. But, you know, they just have the wagon with the Braves. But I think the Phillies are going to still be right in the mix this year. There you have it there for your three wild card teams. Lucy, who's taking home the NL MVP crown?
Yes, I'm going with Mookie Betts for this one. His odds plus 600, not too bad there. He is on a team with Shohei Ohtani, but I think Ohtani not pitching is going to hurt his MVP candidacy. Mookie Betts, of course, playing the field, and I don't think his errors at shortstop are going to be a lot. I think he'll be okay, and because he's very athletic, you can bowl, you can play shortstop. So I think Mookie Betts for MVP, and his odds are plus 600.
Jake going with a back-to-back in the MVP for the National League. He's got Acuña, which makes sense if he's have them for a 50-50 campaign. Right. So, I mean, I can't argue with that. What a player he is. So, Liam, MVP?
Much like Mike Trout, I'm running back my 2023 pick, Tatis.
Nando?
Like you already said it, Fitz. Like, Padres are due for a bounce back. I think he's a huge part of it. We know how electric he can be.
We forget how good he fucking good.
Oh my god, he was a phenomenon in 2021 with 42 home runs, 31 doubles, 282. The OPS plus was 166, and then obviously we saw flashes of it last year in 140 games, which, to be completely honest, feels like way more than he actually played. But I think he'll finally, like you said, normal offseason, normal everything. This is the year he returns to form.
Like that pick a lot. Yeah, I like that pick. I'm riding with Lucy on this. I think Mookie is going to be your MVP. I think Frank Robinson is one of them. Was there another guy who won MVP in the AL, in the NL, or is it just Robinson?
I think it was just him. I could be wrong.
Since he in Baltimore. There may have been another guy in there. I'm not sure off the top of my head, but I think Mookie joins that list.
Yeah.
Was in the mix last year, has been in the mix, obviously, in the past, as we all well know. Going to have a good enough of a lineup around him to help the counting numbers and protection in the lineup there. He's just such a special talent, and I think he'll show his value at shortstop as well. I agree with you, Lucy. I don't think he's going to be as bad as people might fear that he is at shortstop. Obviously, marquee position. But I think he can prove his worth there. And Mookie adds another check mark into his Hall of Fame resume. And we should change the topic before I start crying. who's the Cy Young Award in the National League, Lucy?
Okay, gentlemen. I went back and forth on this. A lot of thought. And it came to me in a vision. And I thought, you know what? This is the year of Chris Sale. And I think Christopher Allen Sale is going to win the NL Cy Young this year. He is going to have maybe the last dominant year of his career, but he'll be back. It will be the year of Chris Sale. He will stay healthy. Of course, health is the main question. I think he's going to stay healthy. He has a new, different perspective heading into this season. He had one hell of a spring. I really like him to win the Cy Young this year. He had brand new team, new you. His odds, not that crazy. Plus 3,000. That's not insane. So even the odds makers are giving him a little bit of credit here. I don't think it's that crazy to say that Chris Sale will win the Cy Young this year.
And if people still, for whatever reason, value wins, he's going to get a fair amount of those, you would have to think.
There you go.
But again, not to relitigate.
That is an incredible narrative. Like,
he leaves the Red Sox. He has a completely healthy season. Wouldn't that just be the luck of the Red Sox for that to happen? That's what I feel. Of course, that it's going to be.
I'd start to believe in curses again.
He has this season, and you're going to think at the end, of course that happens.
But again, even if that is the case,
God, Mookie and Sale
still makes sense.
Yeah, this is what I mean.
One year of a guy, even if he does, you know, come back to form like he was in like 2016, even if he does win the Cy Young Award, one year of a guy who you weren't going to resign anyway on a team that's going nowhere fast, in my opinion, the Red Sox, at least in 2024. Compared to a guy who can help plug the middle infield for the next handful of years at a controllable cost, I think it makes sense. But the worst case scenario is that we have to have this conversation like 20 times on, you know, sports talk radio, podcast, whatever it might be. And I'm not looking forward to that if that is the case. Although it would be very nice to see Sale, you know, get a Cy Young that is long
overdue.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm looking at it right now. It's nuts. He hasn't won it. He's finished sixth. He's finished fifth. He's finished third. He's finished fourth. He's finished fifth again. He's finished second. And he's finished fourth another time.
It's ridiculous. It's like Leonardo DiCaprio not winning the Oscar for so long.
This will be his Revenant.
This will be.
Yeah, not his best movie, but you know,
right. It's like but it gets the job done.
We gotta give him one.
Good,
you know?
Enough to win it. I think he will. It's just, he's finished finalists so many times that I just see it happening this year. He's gonna take it to the end zone.
We've mentioned his name just a few minutes ago. Jake is going with Logan Webb. Which
he's not
like
going with
pick.
Chris Sale, huh?
He's not going. You know, he's not.
He's a strong anti-Sale.
Listen, one member of the 2021 Red Sox winning a Cy Young, in Jake's opinion, is too much, at least for this year. He's already going with Pavetta. But no, he's going with Logan Webb. Don't hate that pick.
I don't hate that either, unfortunately.
Liam, how about you?
I am not high on the Brewers, folks, but I am high on Freddy Peralta.
Freddy Peralta. Nice. Yes.
Little dark horse, maybe, but I feel like there's been noise around him this offseason. He has a very solid resume under his belt now after 6 years. If he throws...
It's been 6 years for Freddy Peralta?
Yeah. Jesus. I mean, well, here's the thing. He really only began starting games full-time back in 2021. So
that's probably
there were two seasons there in 19 and 20, which 20 doesn't really even count. Where he started 8 games, he started 14 games, but he started 30 last year. He threw the most innings in his career last year. If he keeps trending in that direction, like 2021, he threw 144 innings. The ERA plus was 141. Last year it was 112, but just based on stuff alone, if he throws 170 innings, I think he'll be in the conversation. And who knows? If he doesn't win. Sorry, I'm having technical. Baseball Reference just threw an ad in my face and it was in my ears. That was terrifying.
What was it for?
I was like, what is happening? I was like a truck commercial.
No, it's a truck.
But no, I think I was going to say in my vision of a large Red Sox deadline move, I could see the name Freddy Peralta in our future, which, okay, he wouldn't win the NL Cy Young in that situation, but just something to think about, something to chew on.
I should record my own file to be at the start of this segment, be like, drink every time you hear Liam say the word vision. Be
he's
hammered
really,
by the
really,
end of the segment.
Yeah, he's I deep am. In the psychic
I'm seeing
medium.
Things. I'm seeing things.
Yeah, exactly.
There are ghosts in my apartment.
Ball, Liam.
the suit
is it actually your thoughts coming through to us, or is it someone speaking through your mind?
He's got a Ouija board going.
Right. Yeah, could we be. Don't actually
yeah,
know.
Exactly. It's off
the aliens telling us what to say. So
is Liam in the room with us right now? I guess I'll be the boring one here. I was torn between two guys, but ultimately, it's Spencer Strider, guys. This is Strider's year.
I know. Tight pants, fastball go burr.
Nice.
Quadzilla. Love me some Quadzilla. I mean, the strikeout machine, I forget who it was from FanGraphs today. One of his bolder predictions was that Strider eclipses 300 strikeouts this year. I don't think that's that crazy.
That's not that crazy. Nope.
If he could keep the ball in the yard, which some of the metrics suggest he can. He had a 3.86 ERA last year. That's not bad. 2.85 fielding independent pitching, though. So it suggests that there's some positive regression potentially coming on the way for Strider. If that regression does come, that positive regression does come, and he has the strikeouts to go with it, how are you going to argue with that? He's still going to throw 180, 190 innings or so. And with the amount of guys that he strikes out at the rate he does it, I don't know how you don't give it to him. The other guy I considered was Zach Wheeler because I feel like he deserves his flowers as one of the best pitchers in baseball. I was torn there, but I'll go with the chalkier pick on this occasion. Give me Strider to get his Cy Young Award. I love him. He's so fucking fun to watch. And checking his box, very good, a very big music head. He knows his music. He's a big fan of the Strokes. Shout out the Strokes. He
really?
Did that video with Bailey from Foolish Baseball. So shout out Spencer Strider. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, isn't we will he, see Wheeler and Strider on Thursday.
He's a big lefty, isn't he?
He's based. Yeah. He's
a big lefty, but he throws righty.
Oh, bada bing, bada boom. Baby of the year in the senior circuit, Lucy. Who's it going to be?
Yes. So I am taking Young Hoo Lee plus 600.
That's Jake,
you've got
hand to God. Jake is too hand to God.
Jake, I think Jake and I have crossed waves in terms of visions. This is insane. Yep, not that. Okay, so this one, not that that's the craziest pick, though. So I could see how Jake would also be in the same wavelength as me when it comes to picking Young Hooli.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Appreciate that. Good contact sort of a hitter.
Yeah.
He's not going to have a ton of pop, which might be kind of a thing going against him, but
he Jake,
seems like
a good
contact
pop
there
if he hears this.
That'll work in San Francisco.
Right.
Big outfield. Mm-hmm. Just get him down.
Get it to triples alley, you know?
It's true. Yeah.
Liam, what say you? Rookie of the year in the NL?
Going the same. Same
Jung
as Jake. Yeah.
That.
I'm all in. Since the day they signed him, he put on the cap and he asked the press, handsome? Question mark.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I love him. I love him.
Yep.
He did a photo shoot for, I think it was GQ, Korea.
Skibbity. Montgomery has signed with the Arizona Diamondbacks.
No. Are you?
Oh.
You're kidding.
Do I need to change my pick?
Is it over?
Well, okay. Wild card team.
Do we have
changes?
Do we have details? Do we have details?
Passan, left-handed starter Jordan Montgomery and the Arizona Diamondbacks are in agreement on a free agent deal pending physical. A source tells ESPN. No years. No, nothing.
Damn it.
As far as I can tell.
Okay.
Jake, or Liam, I don't think you actually skibbitied in that situation. It was such a big...
So shocking.
What happened to the Yankees in this situation, too?
Yeah, right. Well, now that makes me rethink, do I kick the Giants there? Because that's a nice boost. That's a nice boost. Gallen is your... Gallen leads the line, but Monty 2, and then Erod 3, or Kelly 3? That's a good 1-4 there. Brandon Fott is your 5.
I might have to switch to
Arizona.
No, nope. I'm not taking it back.
I made all my picks considering he could sign anywhere. So
there you go. Lucy saw it in a vision of her own.
In the event that, you know, wherever he goes, that it'll stay the same.
Yeah, it's very well good.
Can we, while I explain my pick here, Liam, could you do me a favor and quote tweet the passing thing? With the there goes
thank
that
you,
dream screenshot from Banshees from the pod account, please and thank you. I can't tap my head and rub my belly at the same time. I agree with all three of you that the National League MVP award will be going to San Francisco. I do not think it will be Jung Hoo Lee. That is where we differ.
Okay.
Kyle Harrison is going to be your National League MVP, I believe.
Okay.
They really like that big, tall drink of water on the mound. Again, he's going to get his chances in that rotation. And with the improved defense behind him for the Giants, I like his trajectory. I like the way he projects to be in that rotation. Has some nice stuff. I feel like maybe we're missing the obvious pick with Yamamoto. Although if the season ended today, he would not win Rookie of the Year after that first after that first start. But
that's why I strayed away from that. And I thought
just
too obvious. You know, I was like, he's done. Nope, cooked, done.
Yeah, Kyle Harrison is a little fun pick there for National League Rookie of the Year. Because sometimes I feel like it's a random... Who thought that it was going to be Kyle Lewis a couple years ago with the Mariners being...
Yeah.
I know it was the COVID year, but, you know, still. All right. This is where the fun begins, to quote Anakin Skywalker. The American League Championship Series and the National League Championship Series. Lucy, who's facing off for the pennant in the AL and the NL? And who's advancing to the World Series? What do we got?
Yes. So I've made some bold predictions throughout the evening. This is not as bold. It's pretty ho-hum, but I think it's reasonable. Orioles to be the AL champions, plus 550 are their odds. And then the Braves to win the National League, plus 240. Then the Orioles ultimately win the World Series in 7 games.
Okay. And any picks on who they'll be beating in the LCS?
Yes.
Or not. No big deal if you don't. But
I don't see that vision yet, but I will update you.
Fair enough. Jake, I have to pull his back up. Jake in the AL is saying the Rangers over the Twins.
Oh.
And then the Phillies over the Dodgers. And then from there, he has the Phillies lifting the Commissioner's Trophy over the Rangers. Didn't mention how many games, but that is Jake's pick.
I don't hate the Phillies. Okay. I'm going to say Red Sox, Orioles. The Orioles will beat them.
Okay.
And then I'm going to say the Phillies and the Braves beat the Phillies.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Liam, how's it going down? What does the vision tell you?
So I sort of spaced out there just ripping tweets from the pod account. So are we doing crazy. Did we do ALNNL just now?
Yeah, then the World Series, yes.
Okay, so American League, as much as it pains me, I think Toronto is coming out of the American League. I'm going bold there because it to me this is make or break for them. If it doesn't happen this year, it's not happening, and you blow it all up. And while I do think the Orioles are still the best team in the American League, seemingly whenever you presume it is someone's year or this is their time, it is not their time.
It is not.
So they could just very well. I will say I foresee in my visions a Orioles Blue Jays ALCS.
Okay.
But I will say the Orioles do not advance to the World Series. So I will go Blue Jays. And I think to me the NL is quite clear. It's the Braves.
Yeah.
I think Braves Blue Jays were running it back. What was that? 91 or 92? I think it was 91. Yeah. Is when they played.
Blue Jays and Braves?
Blue Jays Braves, yeah.
Okay. One of them was the year Phillies. I was born.
Yeah, Joe Carter was the Phillies one. I know that
so
much.
So that was 92. So 91 had to have been the Braves, right?
Yeah. So yeah. There you go.
Look at us. We're like detectives.
But this time I will say the Braves beat.
Okay. The Braves are World Series or bust this year, I feel like. And 100%. I think they'll make it to the World Series. Yeah, that's true. I think the Orioles as well.
I'm going a little chalky here. Mm-hmm. I do think the Orioles make it to the ALCS, but they bow out. And I still can't quit the Astros, man. I think the Astros win in the AL. I think the Braves win the NL over the Phillies.
Oh, to me,
the rematch of the 21 World Series. I think it's the same outcome. I think the Braves beat the Astros in the World Series.
That's not unreasonable.
Braves are so goddamn good.
They're so good, but does their pitching fall apart like last year in the final moments? Is the concern.
That's the question.
That's my concern.
They could also go out and bolster that at the deadline there. The bullpen, I think, it's a huge if. I'm just saying heads up with everyone healthy. That's a damn good bullpen for 7-8-9 in high leverage spots. You have, obviously, a dynamite lefty and then two really good righties out of the pen there. Mm-hmm. And also, they have the experience. I think we mentioned, obviously, the Orioles being a sweetheart pick, and they're a wicked fun team to watch, but they're still young. Obviously, the Texas Rangers now have a lot of that experience on their side, but the Blue Jays still haven't been that far. The Rays haven't been able to take that jump. The Yankees haven't been able to take that jump. Astros have been here before a handful of times with different managers, the space that they have. So I do buy in on them winning the American League. But ultimately, at the end of the day, I think the Braves are just too good. They have too much quality.
Yeah.
Montgomery deal, this is according to Heyman. Montgomery deal is for $25 million for 1 year plus a vesting option for $25 million for a second year. We couldn't fucking
beat
that.
Wasn't it reported that it was a longer-term deal that he was looking for?
Yeah, he wanted six or seven.
So why couldn't the Red Sox do that?
That is a Boris. That might be Boris's biggest fumble.
He's Boris
in history.
Washed.
Cooked. Wow.
Yeah,
so wait, run that by me again. 125 with a vesting option for how much?
2 years.
The second vesting year option is 25 again. So the at max it's 2 years, $50 million.
I mean, Fitz, we've said this a bunch over the winter. If I want a top of the line rotation guy, I don't want him just for 2 years. So to me, the price point, I understand people
Even
are going to bitch and moan about that.
Okay, if it was going to be a short term deal, you couldn't be 25.
That's ridiculous. Well, you know what? They're satisfied with the rotation they have now. Apparently,
let's rock.
I think.
What
did
we have? Second lowest ERA this spring.
They're going to rock and roll. Is what they're going to do.
Well, you think they're winning the wild card one
they
way
will.
Or the other, Lucy. Here.
They'll be in the ALCS.
Montgomery be damned.
Come hell or high water.
Yeah, we'd be dancing on my own. By the way, I hate that song.
Well, yeah, now it doesn't have the same con- as it once did back in the day. Yeah.
It's cursed. It's a cursed song.
Yeah, it's cursed. This is, yeah, this is, you know, it's full throttle.
You know what else is full throttle? Your new show, Lucy.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us all about it.
Okay, so on the BetQL Network, new show debuted today, Bet Slips and Bat Flips. I host it with my co-host Jake Hassan. It is every single
Not Jake
day.
Wallinger.
Yeah, Jake Wallinger. Not to be confused with my enemy Jake, my co-host Jake. Do not confuse the two. Although you could tune in, maybe he and I will become enemies and it will be good fodder for a show. So it's every day from 2 to 2:30 p.m. Eastern time on BetQL's Twitch, which you can find just at betqltwitch.tv/BetQL. And you can find it wherever you get your podcast. So it's Bet Slips and Bat Flips. And we had a lot of fun today. We did some futures, and as we did right here. We will be doing that every single day throughout the baseball season.
And if people want to hear more from you, where can they find you?
Yes, they can find me on Twitter, at Lucille Burge, Instagram, at Lucille Burge, on TikTok, at Lucy Burge 1.
And because you lost the original Simon.
I remember that story.
I did lose that. But hey, guess what I figured out too on Instagram? Lucy Burge on Instagram, also me. I was like, who is this? It is one picture of my limoncello in Italy. And I was like, wait, that's me. I forgot the account myself. So I locked myself out of my own account and I had to switch my name. That happened on TikTok too.
Trust nobody, not even yourself.
I don't trust myself. Yeah, that's save your passwords, folks.
Lucy Burge, again, thank you so much for coming on to the pod. You will get an invitation to the Havzy Awards again this summer. 100%. We'll make sure it doesn't get lost in the mail. But until then, we really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, guys. I can't wait for the summer, and we'll see how Jake does as well.
Yeah, we'll meet up at Bullpen for a couple beers before
we have to.
One of these 100%. Games.
That will happen. I'll see you guys at Bullpen.
Can't wait.
Skip it up and data.
All right. Once again, we'd like to say thank you to Lucy Burge for coming on the pod, friend of the program. Always great to have her around. And I'm sure during one of these first couple of series of the year, we'll meet up with her at Bullpen and we'll start to lament how bad our predictions already look. Gentlemen, I want to take a moment here. I'm going to even take my hat off out of respect here because we are in a new era of Red Sox baseball. The loss of CJ Crone, it's hard to put into words when you lose a titan of the game, a titan of this organization, this establishment that is the Boston Red Sox Baseball Club. How do you fill those shoes? That's a massive presence in the clubhouse, on the field, just gone in an instant. I look forward to his return to Fenway Park with whatever team he's with. The video tribute's going to be great. The tickets are going to be out of this world expensive.
Won't be a dry eye in the house. It'll be Ted Williams.
Yeah, it's going to be worth every penny. Get him in the golf cart and coming around.
The players are going to come out of the dugout and shake his hand.
He's got the hitter.com or hitter.net hat on. I think that's what that was. I need that, John.
Wow, Jake, Fitz, what a pull. Hold on.
Jake, you talk about it. You talk about his yawn there, hitter.net. That's genuinely one of the coolest. I fucking love that. I'll go back to that clip of all the players coming out to greet Ted at the 99 All-Star game. You hear the PA guy in the back like, please leave the field. And they're like, no, fuck you. We're staying on the field. My favorite bit of that is, what were you saying, Jake?
If you search hitter.net, the Hartford Current wrote an article after the All-Star game. Ted's hat, a sign of the times.
Well, the internet bubble.
Well, I think maybe an urban legend. I'm not 100% sure. But Ted's son took off a Red Sox hat when he was in center field and put on the hitter.net hat. I think that's what happened. Again, don't quote me on that.
It does sound familiar.
Well, I'm uneducated. What was hitter.net?
It's like a new.
I assume it was like a hitter hit instruction. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Jesus Christ, brain fart. Name of the book.
Science of Hitting.
Science. I was gonna say The Art of Hitting. I'm like, no, it's not art.
The Art of the Deal.
The Science of the Deal. No. Yeah. No. Science of Hitting. Thank you very much, Liam. Maybe it's just that in an online form. Maybe that's kind of what hitter.net was. But I think he had a Red Sox hat on, and right before he came out, swapped it out.
We should buy that domain if it's available.
Hitter.net. That's just the pod on Lansdowne landing page.
Yeah.
Instead of a link tree, it's hitter.net.
We'll put it on our link tree. Don't worry.
The coolest part of that clip of Ted coming out at the 99 All-Star game, I think, is when he's talking with Mark McGwire, and you can hear it picks it up on the mic. And the first thing he says to Big Mac is, when you foul off a pitch, do you smell the smoke coming off the bat? And McGwire's like, dude, yeah, I do. It's crazy. That, and Ted's like, that's crazy, isn't it? I always love that part. And
he whispers goes over he whispers in his ear, I know about the HGH.
Do you want to know the terrifying
Do you want to know the...
Or do you want to see me hit some... Tell Cersei. I knew. And then he goes over to Griffey. He's like, this kid's fucking awesome. I love this Griffey kid.
Griffey was in the league 10 years at that point.
I know, but that's what he did.
Astute observation by Ted, by Teddy Ballgames.
No, this kid's good. He's got... It's he's like already had 400 home runs.
It's like if they bring out Willie Mays for the All-Star game this year, it goes, this is a Acuna guy. I think he's real good. He's awesome. And he'd be right. Acuna is awesome. But yeah, no, CJ Krohn, not on the team anymore, which means Bobby Dalbec.
Yeah, they got him.
Bobby Dalbec, alive and well. It's the year.
We're doing this again?
The summer of Bob.
King Bob!
What do you even say about our friend Bob at this point? I mean, it's been 5 years, 4 years. No,
and his numbers have gotten progressively worse each of those years.
Yes, did you see that stats tweet?
No, not that, but I mean, I put it in the blog.
Stats posted his last 500, 400, 300, 200, 100 ABs or plate appearances, whatever it was. And the OPS plus gradually drops by like 10 every increment.
Hey, but he can play shortstop. So,
we got some shorts, some third. They had him in the outfield. We got first. That's our super utility. He's the new Brock Holt.
I mean, take it for whatever it's worth. The team has to be, you know, they have to be inspired by the spring that Bobby's putting together. He's having a good spring, but for what that's worth, I don't know if it's worth a ton, because I did see stats bring this up specifically. Why would you not keep CJ Krohn around knowing that Dahlbeck still has an option? Does he not? Or I think Dahlbeck still has one more option left, so you would have him in Worcester, just more organizational depth. And then if Krohn stinks, then, you know, figure it out from there. But
I don't know if this was like a concrete rumor or not, and maybe it's just what I saw you're referencing, Fitz, but they were like, why, like, just bring Krohn back on a minor league deal regardless.
Well, he opted out of the minor league deal, so it was shit or good off the pot specifically. He had to have made the roster.
Oh, so I don't know.
Okay. Adios, you know.
Never mind. But CJ Krohn, an impressive tenure, gotta say. Yeah. Unforgettable stuff.
It's so crazy how people can, you know, the fall off of some players. You know, Krohn was just a couple of years ago, he was hitting like 30 home runs consistently, or 30-ish home runs, maybe just short of 30, but for all intents and purposes, you know, has that 30 power potential, and now he's losing.
Now he's losing the 26th roster spot to Bobby
Dalbec. Training battles to the Bob stop.
I will say, just if we're reminiscing about Bob, August 21, man, special.
Him and Renfro.
Special. Oh, my God. You want to hear what his line was in 24 games?
Let's hear it.
They had four doubles, seven home runs, 21 RBIs. The batting average was .339. The OBP was .431. The OPS was .1200. Slugging was .774.
Video game numbers here, man.
Chills.
He was
special. Chills.
I mean, look up Renfro's number that month, too. He was really good around that. Because I remember the team was on a skid.
They carried the COVID Sox.
Yeah, when everyone was getting COVID, it was right after the All-Star break. For about, like, 3 weeks there, they were completely sleepwalking. You know, the whole COVID thing. They were slumping. But now they put the team on their back.
Let me see. August Renfro.
Relitigate. Yeah, Liam, say what it is.
22 games, he had six doubles, 10 home runs, 21 RBIs. The line was .277, .326, .711. The OPS was just over 1,000.
Now, there you go.
Yeah, we don't need to relitigate.
Modern day
but Ruth Mantle. I stand by that. I think the Renfro trade by Haim was like the most insane idea I've ever. Like, I don't know. That just strikes me as the dumbest shit
he did. Who's left? Is it just David Hamilton?
No, Benelis is chilling.
Oh, okay.
Right? Is he still in the system?
Yeah. I think that's right. It doesn't make any sense now. Like, what?
Well, frankly, Liam, it didn't make sense the moment it happened. If we, like, it banked on like five different things being true, and none of them ended up being true. It was terrible.
I do remember
taking on the JBJ contract in that trade is the most insane shit. Like how did he sell that?
Hey, that's 2018 ALCS MVP Jackie Bradley Jr. You're talking about, Buckaroo. Okay.
I know. Sorry. I got worked up there.
Yeah, it's fine.
Emotional.
It happens. Emotional. It happens to the best of us.
Trading Renfro's fine, but that was like the worst fucking return possible. Because he went out quite sad in the playoffs. He was grounding into double plays like every.
He did nothing in the ALCS.
It was really bad. And I've heard from several sources he's like evil.
Yeah, I don't think he's great in the clubhouse.
No, but I mean,
not for nothing, he's been on like five teams in 5 years now.
Yeah. Two slapdick prospects and paying Jackie Bradley Jr. $10 million is not the return I would have loved for a 30 home run guy. Thanks.
Dude, I went into fight or flight mode there when you mentioned the double plays in the ALCS. I
was so bad. I wanted him benched.
I did too. I think for Bobby. I think that's what I was
Yes,
I remember. I remember calling for Bob. We were like, we got to do something.
Or maybe Shaw or something. The point was,
I do remember Shaw getting a that pinch hit plate appearance. Like,
hey, breaking news! Breaking news! Breaking news!
Skibbity!
Skibbity! Skibbity! Bop and bop up.
Devers in the spring training game just hit the fourth hardest ball he's ever hit.
All right, he's ready.
It was 115.9 miles per hour.
Hit the fucking cover off the ball there.
Can I just say the Yankees roster stinks? I think we need to have a real conversation about. I just saw.
So we haven't done our season predictions just yet in like the real timeline, like a Memento situation here. But I'm gonna guess you don't have the Yankees winning the division.
No, I think that roster's absolute dog shit. They have three good players, but one's hurt, so. And it's fucking awful other than those three. I mean, it really is. I'm looking at it right now. Their pitching staff is gross. It's gross.
I mean, the like starters, ours is healthy better. There.
That's, you know how...
The rotation?
Yes.
No, the Yankees have a better rotation.
I think if everybody had... Not after last year...
We barely.
Who's
knew
good?
Who's
good up. In there? Marcus Stroman's their fucking ace right now.
If Rodon is healthy, then that upside
Rodon's
is
cooked.
Better than anybody else.
Rodon
that
is cooked. He was shitting in spring too. I think he might just be barbecue chicken.
Barbecue chicken. So you're not any of them. You're like Stroman, you don't think if Cortez?
I think
is
Stroman's
healthy.
Fine, but also he's a head case. And
Schmidt
I don't think
is fine.
Stroman and Verdugo on the same team could lead to some fascinating
fireworks.
Yeah, by the end of this, I mean really.
That's I do think it is going to be a weird clubhouse.
Yeah, you got Cole being a fucking nerd. Verdugo, his problems. Stroman's like a fully... Did you see the thing yesterday? He's like, yeah, the Latin players love me. Yep. Like, it was like a Trump quote. I was like, who the fuck is this guy?
They all say I'm their
folks. It was like the
Trump, I called them.
It was like Trump eating the fucking taco bowl or burrito bowl on Cinco de Mayo.
Trump Tower. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that is
this is I love Mexicans. I think it's
yeah. I love Mexicans. That's like what Stroman's a weird cat. Who else is on that team? I don't. I think Nestor's also. He's a bum too. That was a weird run he had, but that I think that's over. I don't know. That
he was also banged up last year, wasn't he? He was like, it's you're talking about guys coming off, you know, who had injury riddled years. That's kind of what sank the Yankees last year. Not to give the Yankees any fucking credit here, but
I'm out on them. You know what? Fuck it. I'll say it. Last place.
Oh,
you're stealing Liam's take from last year.
They almost did it last year. I mean, it was us shitting our pants away from them being last. Like, it's not. Yeah, that roster does not move. I mean, okay, sure, pitching staff aside, you've got a great 2-3. What the fuck is your lineup other than those guys? You got Liam Fennessy batting cleanup. I mean, it's.
I'm at third base.
It stinks. That lineup. The caveat is like
Glaber's good.
Your 2-3 is like obviously like MVP candidates. Yeah, but
Glaber's good in there.
That only goes so far. I mean,
Verdugo's gonna give you two great months.
Two great months. Yeah, they better rack up those wins
By the time he starts to stink, is the Martian gonna be Dominguez? Is he gonna be?
Well, no. You know what I was gonna tell you? They're in a tough spot because Verdugo's only gonna be good when Gerrit Cole is out. So that's a really tough spot.
That's right.
Yeah.
That first half, though.
Yeah. Also, and I'll tell you another thing. Gerrit Cole, I don't think that's clear skies ahead either. Your elbow?
It didn't sound
that
promising.
That's nasty business.
Right. I mean, the people are concerned.
And they went
about
for
Tommy
like
John.
Second and third opinions, too.
How often do you get a second opinion and it's like not a catastrophe?
I mean, yeah, who knows about the hell? I'm just saying, if he's on the mound, dude, he's.
No, I'm not. I'm saying the fact that he had elbow issues is like, not great. I mean,
of course not.
Do you just get better? I mean, what's the like? Does the human body just heal whatever he had? I don't know. Right? I don't know. Not a doctor.
Don't take the opinion there.
No, but point is, that team stinks.
Oh my God, Cole! It's 10 to 12 weeks for him. That's not great.
Who's their opening day starter? Stroman?
It's Nestor. They named Nestor the opening day, right?
Spare me that team that rotation's good, Fitz. Get out of here.
It's better than the Red Sox rotation. It is.
Carlos Rodon was the worst pitcher in the fucking league last year.
When he was all banged up, he was fucking hurt for half of it.
I don't know. I think
he was, dude. What are you talking about? This is
sans Andrew.
You're
Bailey.
Doing it. Kevin Bacon wasn't in Footloose. Saying, well, I don't know. He was fucking hurt. I would love to see him stink.
It has a much higher ceiling than ours. I will give
100% ceiling. Sure.
Right. I'm saying
I don't think they're touching that ceiling.
That's fair enough. I mean, if people are hurt, then yeah, then it's a different situation. Yeah, again, on wheels, bicycle thing here. But if you're talking like heads up, everyone on your best five, my best five, they have the better rotation right now. It just is what it is. I'm sorry to go and tell everybody the truth.
Fitz, that felt. I don't know if you could say that.
No, that was a reference to Stephen A. Smith, Kwame Brown. The man cannot play the game of basketball. He has small hands.
Okay.
Speaking of Stephen A. Smith, he won't fucking review Viva La Vida. I keep asking him.
I think if you keep trying.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, I can envision it now. It's June, and I've asked day 76 of asking him about his thoughts about the Baroque pop classic hit Viva La Vida. He's like, this man has been asking me for 76
Fitzy,
days.
Fitzy Mopenia?
Fitzy Mopenna? I gotta say, I think that Guy Berryman's bass line in that is fantastic. You didn't think I knew that, did you? You didn't think I knew that. I clap
should,
like a
you
seal.
Turn it into a bit. You turn it into a bit.
I'm working on it. Yeah. No one's been biting on it. I don't think anyone's really noticed it. But
Jake did notice it.
He said it was great at first. He was the first person to say it was really good, so I do appreciate that.
I'm gonna keep an eye out for it now.
Yeah, no, he tweets it around like 9 o'clock, not every day, but a lot of the
so
days.
Funny. Says, so you know when those
like,
prompts go.
I have his tweet notifications on to make sure that I can jump on it and be one of the first people to do it. Look through it. I'll give you the exact wording of it because I think I did it either today or yesterday. Days kind of run into each other. I could tell you exactly what day I'm on, and I can give you the wording for it if Twitter ever decides to load. He has around the same prompt every time. It's like, good morning, y'all. Like, we're doing questions. Let's get creative here. I want some more fun ones. He keeps saying, I want fun ones, specifically. All right, so we're on day 15. Day 15 of asking Stephen A. Day 15 of asking Stephen A. about his thoughts on Coldplay's Grammy Award-winning hit single and Baroque pop masterpiece, Viva La Vida. And the video attached to it is a video I clipped like a year or two ago of Stephen A. Smith talking about the Super Bowl halftime show, and he just says Coldplay on loop.
That's there, terrifying.
No, yeah, it's just like a Coldplay. It's so yeah, Stephen A. Smith. Come I wonder what phone. Outrageous baseball takes he's going to give this year.
Who knows?
I was going to see how long that silence was going to go. I'm excited, guys, though. Call me crazy. I'm excited for baseball.
I think
we'll surprise some people.
I wish they made one real move. I feel like that would go so. That would have gone so far.
I think I'd feel a lot
it's
better.
It's not too late to get.
It's not too late.
Persona
no, but
non
grata. I yeah.
Don't even say his name.
Yeah,
he. I saw the artist formerly known as Jordan Montgomery.
I saw earlier today. It pissed me off. Merlone was like, a little birdie told me, and then like 3 hours later, he's like, oh well, a little birdie told me something completely opposite.
Yeah, another birdie. So, shout on like, that first birdie.
He's like, I'm not listening to any birdies anymore. Like, well, join the club.
I actually like instinctively groan when I hear Jordan Montgomery's name now. Just the mention of him, I'm like, ugh.
Robert De Niro, fuck him. Sorry. Sorry.
No, fuck Scott Boras, probably.
Yes, 100%. He screwed all his clients this winter.
He put up Tony Snell numbers, Scott, this offseason. Did he get a single good deal for any of his guys?
Scott Boras trick y'all, man.
Right? Who was his...
I don't know. What's the best deal he got? The one for Bellinger? Maybe?
Arguably. Yeah,
that's still like an opt-out after every year.
They all have an opt-out after 3 years.
I think like, Bellinger, out of the like the big, what is it? He had like four or five big clients this year.
Yeah, Bellinger's him, Gatlin, is Snell, and Montgomery.
Bellinger's is the best just on the basis that it was the first one, so at least we could give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, Bellinger got to go to spring training. Bellinger got to hang out with his team.
Bellinger will be ready for opening day.
Yeah.
The one pro of the Bellinger deal was like, oh, well, maybe this is just an offshoot. Maybe Chapman gets a better deal, or Snell, and, you know, here we are. Not the case.
What a terrible offseason.
Like, yeah, the sports stars in a fucking betting scandal now. This is
once Yamamoto signs, the market will open up. Once Blake Snell signs, the market will open up.
Never mind.
Once Michael Lorenzen signs, the market will open up. What's the buddy we got? The Red Sox just signed Chase Anderson. What's his name?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Once Chase Anderson signs,
that's him.
Market will open up.
Yeah, the flood doors they're opening.
I tweeted this from the podcast account, but with the Nesson announcement that Chase Anderson signed, they also like in the corresponding move they made another graphic of Lucas Giolito like tossing up
to the 60 day
IL, and mine instantly went to Sam Darnold out indefinitely with mono and pointing at the camera, and it's like he's like this bat, you know, Giolito be like, yeah, I'm ready to hurl some innings, and then the graphic instantly says, no, you're not ready to throw some innings because you're getting surgery. But yeah, baseball. I'm gonna smash that.
Yeah, sure thing.
Retweet button on that Papa Bush holding up the baseball video.
Oh, always.
Set to
with,
Smashing Pumpkins.
With the riff. Yeah,
said Smashing Pumpkins today. Yeah. Great song. What else, gentlemen? What we want to talk about? Because baseball's on the mind, but anything else that you want to get off your chest? Because now it's union mandated silly hours. This is American folktale.
If anyone's got any T-Mobile Park wrecks for me and Jake this weekend,
or
just Seattle in general.
Guys, you know what you have to hear is not a recommendation. This is your boss here, the union boss, Scabby the Rat, telling you. This is not a recommendation. This is a mandate. You got to try those fried grasshoppers at
100%.
Yeah. Leon, I'll do it too.
Review for the pod.
Listen, people, you fry anything, I'll eat it, frankly.
Yeah.
They're
just going to be crunchy and salty, probably.
Yeah. Like what, chicken, they right? fry like scorpions and shit. Not there, but that's a thing too, right?
Fried scorpion. I've never heard of fried scorpion.
I could give a fuck. If it kills me, so what at this point,
Something's going to kill you one day.
If it's absolutely, that's
be a hell of a way to start the season. I had Jake died this weekend.
Jake died.
He hit a bad grass.
Peter King, Seattle.
Shot dead at T-Mobile Park.
I want to get the exact wording of
Rap. We'll make a rap TV graphic for him.
Shot dead.
Y'all not rocking with Jake?
Tweet from @Peter_King.
I'll tell
Seattle. Asked restaurant host. God, did you hear about Jake Wallinger? Host, no. Me. Died. He ate a grasshopper. Thought he would cry.
I'll tell you what, Liam. It's going to get real spooky hours in the time when we land to when we can check into the hotel. I feel like that's going to be real dark times for us. Everybody's going to be tired and cranky, and we're going to have our luggage dragging around the fucking place.
Well, you're not going to, like... You're not fucking, like, checking a bag, dude, are you? Or is it just...
No, I don't check bags. I don't check bags.
I was going to say, there's no way.
I don't check... I checked the bag when I came to LA.
That makes the whole experience at an airport that much longer.
Jake's like, I don't check bags. I bag checks, baby.
Well, I checked the bag when I came here, which I think was the first... Because, you know, I came for 4 months. Which I think was the first bag I checked in, I'm not kidding, maybe 15 years.
Really?
Yep.
I just don't... I hate checking bags.
Yeah, it's a fuck.
Well, yeah, it's a pain, but like you like a vacation
nightmare is losing my luggage. I think I would actually have like a full pan. Like, did you get it back though?
Nope.
Yeah, see, I couldn't live like that.
That would ruin the whole trip for me.
What if I had some Johns in there? Fist, tell me you didn't have any great Johns in there.
This was when I was like 8. So like our family, we were visiting family in Vegas.
Yes, probably some great ones though.
Yeah, I don't remember off the top of my head what was in there, but...
You had a layover and they fucking lost it or what?
It was a direct... we went.
They lost your luggage on a direct... What, do they got fucking idiots running the show?
They sent it to Oakland and they couldn't get it back.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was a whole thing.
It was probably Fisher. The Fisher needed some extra cash.
What do you mean they got him? Yeah, they got his luggage.
Shared his Dunkaroos.
Oh, Fitz, that's a nightmare, pal. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we lived, right?
My little sister lost her. Funny. The way Fitz said that made me think it was like this really traumatic memory for the Fitzies.
What are you gonna do?
We made it out the other end. My sister lost her luggage in Spain. Like a couple months ago, but they did get it back to her.
See, they've improved.
What a fun job that'd be, just like driving around, dropping off luggage that had been lost. That's probably genuinely a fun job. It's like pizza delivery, but more high stakes.
You're like modern day Santa. Like, you're the real life Santa.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think it'd be fun. And I think people would understand it wasn't your fault. So they'd be nice to you.
Dude, you'd be surprised. A lot of people.
Yeah,
right. Have you worked in retail before,
well,
man?
Maybe in Spain. Maybe, I don't know. The Spanish seem polite from everything my sister says.
Okay.
But, yeah, not in the U.S. of A, though.
Yeah, no. You work one day in retail.
Get this. Pretty good odds on a SETI Rookie of the Year on sportsbooks. I might toss... like $20 on it.
Ipe Wallinger here? Wow.
Ipe's picks. He's our fourth host now.
He is our fourth. He'll be here next week. He'll be here next week. He's actually coming to Seattle to meet me and Liam. So
Sydney Sweeney, did you get her on the pod?
She didn't take
you questions. Ask a question? Oh, god damn it.
Yeah. There's a moderator's fucking douchebag.
Well, again,
your fault. She looked beautiful though and gave some, frankly, not very insightful answers, but it was nice. not the most eloquent young lady.
Oh, she'll be perfect for the pod then.
Yeah, I was going to say, who are we to judge?
Yeah.
Is that all we got, Jim?
Yeah, that's all I got. I think, I mean, next week...
He pays pick.
Oh, yeah, I might throw it to the week.
New segment.
I might throw 20 bones on SETI. The top two guys are both the Ranger guy.
Langford and Carter.
The other one. Yeah. Funny Carter's a rookie. Carter could have won fucking World Series MVP, and now he has his rookie year.
Well, that's so what funny. Randy could have done, too. Randy
no, I know. I love – I think that stuff's so funny.
That Randy postseason was special.
Jacoby Ellsbury as well, I believe, had the same thing.
In 07?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
baseball's
I'll tell you what,
weird
fellas,
like that.
Song of the week, Mr. Mom by Lone Star. That's my song.
Lone Star. I'm going to guess that's a country outfit.
You don't know this tune?
That's a banger.
B Being Mr. Mom. Well, you don't know that one, Fitz?
I'm not familiar, as a matter of fact.
All right. Well, it's real.
Yeah, that's good.
Yep.
You guys ever heard of Coin? I think I've brought up Coin on the show
before. I've heard of Coin.
Some Coin.
Coin's really good. Their song Valentine has been stuck in my head all day today. So let's go Valentine by Coin. Great song. Really, for my Boston music heads out there, if you liked yourself some 92.9 like a decade ago, you'd like yourself some Coin.
Okay, put on fire. A very good Coin. That's fire, dude.
Fire.
Did you give an actual song though? I was half listening.
The name
to
of the song
now.
Is Valentine, and the band Valentine. Is Coin. Okay, right. Like, oh, I have a silver coin in my hand.
Okay, thanks.
Coin's great. Big fan of Coin.
I know what coins are. Liam, song.
I'm going with another 80s jam. Don't You Want Me? The Human League.
Don't Ooh. You want me? Oh.
Hey. Liam, we should listen to a ton of grunge this week. Get really into it.
Oh yeah,
oh, yeah. Come yeah. back,
I mean, Johnny. I'm sure Johnny's gonna
some
be.
Nirvana.
Nirvani's Johnny's gonna
Nirvani.
Stay.
Nirvani.
That's his new name now. That's his name.
Yeah. He could style his hair to look like fucking Cobain.
He could. He's gonna stay and become the next Kurt Cobain.
Plaid well, shirts.
Hey,
like,
hey, boots. Whoa. Come on.
For better or worse.
Better or worse.
Hey now.
Yeah.
Johnny shot dead in Seattle.
Imagine that Peter King tweet about Cobain. That's crazy. That's a cultural Cobain.
It's a cultural moment. Yeah. You get off the airport, get off the plane at Seattle. The first thing to do, the stewardess hands you a copy of Nevermind, and then you are legally obligated to say, I actually like In Utero a little bit more than Nevermind. I think it's actually the better album. I like that it's more dark. And then someone behind you goes, actually, Bleach is their best album. Okay,
I'll tell you what. I'm afraid if we go to that vintage store, Liam, I might
you
act
buy everything.
I might act unwise because Seattle, I think maybe more than any other city, has a lot of beautiful, heat for their vintage John's sports teams.
Supersonics, yeah. Dude, are you kidding me?
Supersonics, the old Mariners shit. Come on now,
Seattle Pilots.
Pilots, fuck. I mean, even the fucking Kraken. I think that's a pretty setup. Not vintage, of course, but.
The like 80s like Steve Largent era Seahawks jerseys are.
Yeah,
really
I mean,
nice
I would never buy something Seahawks, but yes, that's that's where I draw the line. I think
you're not one of the 12s.
No, I'm not. Sorry if that offends. Well, fellas, yeah. That's all I got, and I'll tell you
what's
what?
The emoji.
Oh God, ooh, we didn't really
coin emoji.
Is there a coin?
I think there's a coin.
It's got to be. There's some currency.
There's, yeah, coin, you get like a really weirdly photorealistic coin. If you type coin, you guys see that one? Coin.
Yeah, now I see it.
Yeah, that's weird. That's barely an emoji. But coin.
Yeah.
Hit us with that one.
And then tell me what you think about the band Coin, because they're really good. That, yeah, anyways, guys, just a couple of days from opening day. The long journey begins anew. And we'll be here the entire way. We really appreciate you taking the time to listen this entire offseason.
Oh, thanks for the 2,000 Twitter followers, guys.
Oh God, how could I be remiss?
Yeah, we're in contact with Fanatics and Nike. We'll have an update next week for you guys. Yeah,
I see. I don't have much of an ass to begin with, so I don't know how those pants are going to make me look. Hopefully, it gives me a little bit of a caboose. I need that. I've got to be doing my squats before we try that on.
I've got hockey ass. Still have it.
There you go.
Yeah,
like hip checking people.
No, it's just hockey players frequently have large butts because it's all you're pushing with your glutes.
Makes sense.
A lot of lower half.
Yeah, compared to running, like you don't run with your ass really, but you run with.
Speak for yourself, dude.
Yeah, well, but when you push, it's all you know, like you push a skateboard. Anyway, yeah, I have a big ass. Point is. Yeah.
Well, the point is also that thank you for 2,000 followers. Love shooting the shit with you guys on Twitter at Pod on Lansdowne for the show, by the way. But yeah, no. We got
2 million. 2 million next.
Yeah. To the moon is the next thing. Well, the way Liam's going with his viral tweets, we just might have a shot at that.
My Ohtani tweet deserves more. It only has 73 retweets. I thought that was fucking so good.
Those are the best ones. Once of them pop off.
Yeah, I'm going to retweet it again right now myself.
Give it some extra juice. Yeah. Get it back in front of people.
Hey, if you're listening to this, Go retweet my Ohtani Oppenheimer tweet from 2 days ago. You'll see it 2 days ago.
Please, my family is dying.
But go back, go search it, find it on my account. My family is starving.
So for Jake, for Liam, I'm Fitz, you're you. Thank you as always for listening. And we're excited to start the season again.
Someone just went deep. They've got the LED lights flashing across the street, folks.
Oh, I can see it on the left side of the screen.
You can see them going off.
Yeah.
That's funny. They'll be real in just a matter of days.
We're here. We're here. It's upon us.
The season's upon us, baby. Go Sox and obey your mother.
Obey your mother.
This is the last one of the offseason, Liam. You got to make a count.
Obey your mother.
You nailed it.
Fuck yeah, dude. It's fucking sick.
The great season, have fun, and knowing that better times are ahead for the Baltimore Orioles.
Obey your mother!